జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శిర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శిర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదకి ఆనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి జయం సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామ్కి మాయాపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురగిరి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్ పరిధామ్కి ద్వారకా పరిధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అని గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతరే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్య ఆదేశధారిణి
ఓం
నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం తేన మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాం ఉద్ధర భవార్ణవ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి శ్రీహృదోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభవ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదిగరదశ్చార్థేషు విజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆది అవయే ముహ్యంతి యల్ సూరయ తేజో పారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధనాసేన సదా నిరస్తగుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని హృదయ కిం వావరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యతే యత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గణితం ఫలం శుకముఖానమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం భూరహో రసియా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతం అనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శృతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారినాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయమదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకొనిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీనా కనికావి కావికావి నమః ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯಾದೇಶದಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮ ವಂದೇ ನಂದ ಪ್ರಜ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣಮಭೀಷ್ಟಶಾಂ ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗದೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾಣವೇ ನಮ ಪೀಲಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತ ಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಂ ಅತಿಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲಯೇಶವನಿಶಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ ಕೋಮಳಂ ಪೂಜಯನ್ಮೇನಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಕ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯವರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಾಸದಾಂ ಪುರತೋ ಮಾಂ ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗಂ ಲಂಘಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ರಾಧ್ಯಾಯ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಓಂ ಪಾಠಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಾಂ ಭಗವದಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಕೃತಿತಾಂ ಪುರಾಣ ಮುನಿನಾಂ ಮಧ್ಯೇ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣೀ ಭಗವದೀಮಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯಿನೀಮಂ ಬತ್ವಾ ಮನಸಂದಲಾಮಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೇ ಭವದ್ವೇಷಿಣೀ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ದೇವ್ಯಾಸವಿಶಾಲಬುದ್ಧಿ ಪುಲ್ಲಾರವಿಂದಾಯದವತ್ರ ನೇತ್ರ ಯೇನ ತ್ವಯಾ ಭಾರತತೈಲಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ವಾಲಿತೋ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯ ಪ್ರದೀಪ ಪ್ರಪನ್ನವಾರಿಜಾದಾಯ ತೋತ್ರವೇತ್ರೈಕಮಾನಯೇ ಜ್ಞಾನಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತದುಹೇ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವೋವರ್ಷದೋ ಗಾವೋ ದುಗ್ಧ ಗೋಪಾಲನಂದನ ಪಾರ್ಥೋ ವಲ್ಸ ಸುಧೀರ್ಭೋಕ್ತ ದುಗ್ಧಂ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಂ ಮಹತ್ ವಸುದೇವ ಸುತಂ ದೇವಂ ಕಂಸ ಚಾನೂರಮರ್ದನಂ ದೇವಗೀ ಪರಮಾನಂದಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ವಂದೇ ಜಯದ್ಗುರುಂ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣತಟಾ ಜಯದ್ರತ ಜಲ ಗಾಂಧಾರ ನೀಲೋಲ್ಪಲ ಶಲ್ಯಗ್ರಾಹವದಿ ಕೃಪೇಣ ವಹನಿ ಕರ್ಣೇನ ವೇಲಾಗುಲ ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಾಮಾ ವಿಕರ್ಣ ಘೋರಮಗರ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನಾವರ್ತಿನಿ ಸೋತೀರ್ಣ ಖಲು ಪಾಂಡವೈರಣ ನದಿ ಕೈವರ್ತಕ ಕೇಶವ ಪಾರಾಶರ್ಯವಜ ಸರೋಜಮಲಂ ಗೀತಾರ್ಥ ಗಂಧೋಲ್ಕಣಂ ನಾನಾಖ್ಯಾನಕ ಕೇಸರಂ ಹರಿಕಥಾ ಸಂಬೋಧನಾಭೋದಿತಂ ಲೋಕೈ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಶಲ್ಪದೈರಹರಃ ಪಿಬೀಯಮಾನಂ ಮುದಾ ಭೂಯಾತ್ ಭಾರತ ಮಂಗಜ ಕಲಿಮಲ ಪ್ರಧ್ವಂಸಿನ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೇ ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗಂ ಲಂಘಯದೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾತುಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವರುಣೇಂದ್ರ ರುದ್ರ ಮರುತಸ್ತ್ವನ್ವಂದಿ ದಿವ್ಯೈ ಸ್ತವೈರ್ ವೇದೈ ಸಾಂಗಪದೈ ಕ್ರಮೌಪನಿಷದೈರ್ ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಸಮಗಾಃ ಧ್ಯಾನಾವಸ್ಥಿತ ತದ್ಗದೇನ ಮನಸಾ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನೋ ಯಸ್ಯಾನ್ನಂ ನ ವಿದುಸುರಾ ಸುರಗಣೈ ದೇವಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಯಾವದ್ದೇಹೇಂದ್ರಿಯ ಪ್ರಾಣೈ ಆತ್ಮನ ಸನ್ನಿಕರ್ಷಣ ಸಂಸಾರ ಫಲವಾಂಸ್ತಾವದ್ ಅಭಾತೋಪ್ಯವಿವೇಕಿನಾಂ ಅರ್ಥೇಹ್ಯ ವಿದ್ಯಮಾನೇಭಿ ಸಂಸರ್ಗ ನಿವರ್ತತೆ ಧ್ಯಾಯತೋ ವಿಷಯಾನಸ್ಯ ಸ್ವಪ್ನೇ ಅನರ್ಥಾಗಮೋ ಯಥಾ ಯದಾಹ್ಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬುದ್ಧಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಸ್ವಾವೋ ಬಹ್ವನರ್ಥಭೂತ್ ಸ ಏವ ಪ್ರತಿಬುದ್ಧಸ್ಯ ನ ವೈ ಮೋಹಾಯ ಕಲ್ಪತೆ ಶೋಕ ಹರ್ಷ ಭಯ ಕ್ರೋಧಂ ಲೋಭಮೋಹ ಸ್ಪೃಹಾದಯ ಅಹಂಕಾರಸ್ಯ ದೃಶ್ಯಂತೆ ಜನ್ಮ ಮೃತ್ಯುಶ್ಚನಾಲ್ಪನಾ ಯೆಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಟು ಉದ್ಧವಾಸ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ಬಾ ಈಸ್ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಅಂಡ್ avyayam, it has no beginning or end. Agunam, it is free from all three modes of material nature. Shuddha, pure. Swayam Jyoti, self-illuminating. And anavadam, it's not covered by anything. In spite of that, and like Agni, it is inside, like the fire. And body, material body, which is jadam, dead matter, which has no life, but when they, so who is experiencing material existence? That was Uddhava's question. Krishna answered that by saying that when these two things combine together, the soul, the Atma or the living force, and the material body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all that combine together, or in other words, when the Sat combines with Asat, there is born what is known as material existence. And material existence is, Krishna explained there, that it is felt shoka harsha bhaya krodha lobha moha spruha daya. So many things. Shokam means lamentation, and harsham is happiness, and then fear, anger, greed, trishna desires, illusion, all these things one will have when you can, Krishna says, these things will develop because they have combined with the Atma, has joined with the Asat, which means the material body and mind, intelligence and ego. When somebody sees something, he gets desires. Where is the desires coming? Who has experienced that? And at that point you can hear, say that Ahangaram is experiencing all these things, all these emotions, what Krishna has spoken to. Shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, spruha. Ahangarascha drishyande, janma mrityuscha anatmana. That, and janma mrityu, birth and death is also for the ahangaram, na atmana, it's not for the soul. So, all these things are experienced by the ahangaram. So, birth and death is for the ahangaram or the false ego, nothing to do with the Atma. Atma never takes birth, Atma never dies, Atma never experiences birth or death. And one who has understood this, Krishna is saying here, that he does not experience anything, neither birth nor death, nor the Atmana. Birth and death is never experienced by him. And in the next verse, Dehendriya pranamano anobhimano jiva andharalma gunakarma murti sutram mahanit urudheva gida samsara vadhavadi kalatantraha. That he is, Krishna is saying, Deham indriyam pranan mind manasa abhimanam. When these four things combine together, body, senses, pranam and mind, when they all combine together, there is born what is known as abhimanam. Abhimanam or ahangaram or ego takes birth there. And that ahangaram or abhimanam inside is, due to the presence of body, we call that as jiva. That is what we call as jiva. That means body, senses, mind, pranam, all these things. Pranam is the force that operates the force of action, in other words. The different five pranams, what circulating in the body. Pranam, vyanam, apanam, udanam, vyanam. So, all these pranam combined to pancha pranam, and then there is five upapranams also, supplementary pranams. So all the pranam together, along with the body, mind, senses, when they all combine together, what is known as the ahangaram is born. And that ahangaram, due to the presence of the body, it happens. And in the presence of the body, it develops, and that is what is called the jiva. What is called jiva? In reality, there is no such thing called the jiva. When many things are combining together, we have a new name given to it. That's all. A new name is given to him, similarly. And once you have separated them out, body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything is separated out, then it comes back to the same thing. It comes back to the same thing. Just like when you are cooking something, some special vegetables with spices, everything, you put into dal and all other spices, everything combined together, and vegetables, all combined together you make it and becomes what we call as a prepared vegetables. Vegetables. And it has its own taste and its own nature when they all combine together. Is it not? It has its own nature. When so many different spices, vegetables and everything come together, it has its own taste. But similarly, mind, senses, body, prana and intelligence, all these things combined together with the living force, it is called ahangaram comes in there, and that ahangaram is called jiva. Jiva is that thing. That and because that jiva which is manifesting there at that time, because it is manifesting in Atma, it is in the Atma manifesting in the soul, therefore it has got life. Therefore, that is why it has got life. That the different in the Vedantam they say that all these things when they combine together, even then the life does not, jiva does not develop. It becomes jiva when it is manifesting in Atma. Body, mind, intelligence, senses, everything, when they combine together, pranam, shariram, body, mind, manas, pranam, and then senses, all of them combine together, and in the association of the gross material body with the antaryami inside, it gives birth to what is known as jiva. And jiva, or what is known as jivo, it says here, jivo antaralma gunakarma murti. Krishna is saying, dehendriya pranam anobhimanam jivo antaralma gunakarma murti. So jiva himself is called antaralma or antaryami. Jiva himself is antaryami. He is not different from jiva himself is addressed as antaryami. And his body, jiva's body, is the three modes of material nature and the karmam he is performing. Karmam and gunam. And he says, guna karma murti. So, jiva is the, if you call jiva as the murti, then its body is gunam and karmam. Guna karma murti. Jivo andaralma, guna karma murti. And that means sattva, rajas, tamas, three modes of material nature, and all the actions he performs, that is his body. All the actions he performs in his body. And when it is all come together, then the nature is, he will always be engaged in karma. He will always be engaged in karma. And not only that, he will continuously develop gunabhavam. Gunabhavam means these three modes. Gunabhavam will develop in that person, when they all come together. So, sutram mahanit urudheva gita. Sutram mahanit urudheva gita. Sutram. So, these three modes of material nature, his vasanas, when they combine together, that is called sutram. That sutram is called subtle body, sushma shariram. Sutram mahanit urudheva gita. And also, that subtle body is called Sutralma. Sutralma. Sutram mahanit urudheva gita samsara madhavadi kala tantraha. And that same thing, it's one and the same thing, it is addressed by different people in different names. Some people, when these three modes of material nature, when they combine with the vasanas, and then that is called, that sutram is called sushma shariram or subtle body. And that sushma shariram or subtle body is also addressed as sutralma. Sutralma. And some people call that as mahatattvam also. So, some people call it as mahatattvam, and some people call this sushma shariram or subtle body as sutralma also. Samsara madhavadi kala tantram. That when under the power of time, which is a force of Ishvara, Ishvara's power, Samsara Madhavati Kala Tantram. That Kalam, which is time, which is under the force of Ishvara, Krishna, all these things starts functioning. All of them starts functioning, and in the result of that, he continuously creates changes in the world. It is changing itself. For example, in the association of the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, along with the gross body, and when the Atma is present inside, what is known as the Sushma Shariram inside, that is the reason why the body is changing. Why the body is changing under the influence of time. And because of the influence of time, constantly it is changing and it is appearing in a different form. Continuously it's changing, and continuously its form is changing. So, and this is what is known as samsaram. Krishna says, samsara madhavadi kala tantra. Samsara madhavadi kala tantra. So, dehendriya pranamano abhimanam jivondaralma gunakarma murti sutram mahanitvuri devagidam samsara madhavadi kala tantra. So, and suppose somebody is fixed in the platform of the soul, Brahmanishta has happened to him, or Atmanishta, or Yoganishta, whichever way you call it, you are established in the Atma, in the self. For him, this experience won't be there anymore. We have the experience at the moment that when all these things combine together, body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, along in the presence of Antaryami, who is present, the what is known as Jiva is born. And in the presence of Jiva, everything is changing, constantly changing. But because we are experiencing that change, why? Because not being fixed in the platform of the soul. Suppose we have experienced if we have realized the self, who we are, and established in the platform of the soul, then this experience won't be there. And as long as we do not get that establishment in the truth, a person will always be going through these experiences. Continuous change in the body, birth and death, happiness and distress, all kinds of emotions. This is all a part of that. So that nothing else will happen in his life. This will be the only thing that will go on. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, they all come together. And in the association of Antaryami, it comes, joins, and then the new thing called Jiva is born. And as long as we remain as a Jiva, in the platform of Jiva, constantly, which is known as Sushma Shariram, and that Sushma Shariram, under the influence of time, continuously is subject to change. And that change will constantly happen, and that is what eventually end up in death. That's what eventually end up in death. But when one gets established in the truth, Atma, then these changes are not experienced by him anymore. It will still change, but the experience is not there inside. He has been freed from that. Amulam etat bahurubarubidam manovaja prana sharira karma jnanasino vasanaya ashirena chitva punirgam vijaratya trishna. Amulam etat bahurubarubidam. Amulam etat bahurubarubidam. Krishna is saying that this swarupam, in one's swarupam, which is in this jiva state, these things are bound to happen. Things are generated, things are destroyed, continuous changing, it's getting destroyed, and it keeps growing, it is subjected to death, decay and death. So many changes are constantly happening. Like Prahlad also said that, the six changes that happens to the body, is it not? So changing, continuous changing, birth, then it takes birth, it grows for some time, stays in that situation for a while, then it starts slowly decaying, and it has some byproducts in between, then it starts slowly decaying, and eventually death. So similarly, every object in this world, and every living entity in this world and its body is subjected to this change. And all the time it is experiencing this change, And along it grows and it gets destroyed, and that is the very nature of this existence of the jiva. Jiva's existence is always like that. And similarly, there are billions and billions of living entities with different bodies and different objects, and this creation is filled with this kind of living entities, which are constantly subject to change. And wherever you look at that, there is a root behind all these things. In other words, without a primary cause behind it, if you start analyzing it, then amulamedat bahurubarubidam manovaja prana sharira karma, that you will never be able to find out what actually has caused this. Amulamedat bahurubarubidam manovaja prana sharira karma. It seems that when they combine together mind, manovaja prana sharira karma, karma begins, time is there, and body is there, and all other all other things like the gross body, mind, intelligence, and senses, they are all present, prana present there. And when the jiva is formed, and the jiva is present in this world, why this has happened, you won't be able to find out a reason for that. And whether it is there or not, if there is a cause behind it or not, bahurupa rupidam, Krishna is saying there, bahurupa rupidam. Bahurupa rupidam means it is very difficult to say what is its form. For example, if you are seeing a particular namarupam, that rupam is constantly changing, isn't it? Subjectless, like we can say boyhood, childhood, boyhood, teenager, youthhood, then middle age, old age, and then death. So it is, all what is happening is continuous change, that's all. And that is its nature, and that you can't stop. That's the very nature of this jiva's existence. But mind, words, pranam, body, karma, all these are its upadhi. It's upadhi, upadhi of the jiva, nothing else. That means so long as you have these things, mind, body, pranam, and power of speech, walk, and karma, when these things are present there, then he is subjected to go through these changes, what Krishna has spoken. So, what will happen is that when these things all come to a stop, that means mind, body, intelligence, when they are all not growing anymore, that although they are all present here, only under the influence of time, these changes will happen. Time is necessary. Time is the contributing factor which affects the changes to happen. So when time is influencing that, new forms are created and continuously changing. It is growing, it is getting destroyed, and finally it disappears. So you can see under the influence of time, the gross body is changing, the mind is changing, intelligence is changing, senses are changing, and even the prana shakti, ability to kriya shakti, or in other words, action of force of action, that is also changing in a person. The power to act is also changing. All these changes together, which is happening in the jiva, is due to the presence of time. Due to the presence of time. And this is the nature of material existence. So, there, then, jnanasinopasanaya shitena chitva munirgam vicharatya trishna. Krishna is saying, jnanasinopasanaya shitena chitva. Jnanam, the sword of knowledge. Jnanam, asi means sword. Jnanam, the sword of knowledge. Jnanasi. Jnanasi ni upasanaya. And what is that sword? Sword is nothing but upasana. Upasana means that the effort from the jiva. Jiva's effort is called upasana. Jiva puts a lot of effort in engaging in spiritual life. That's called upasana. So that, and through upasana, he has to develop this knowledge of the self. And he has to sharpen the knowledge is considered compared to a sword. And that sword has to be always kept sharpened. He has to keep sharpening it all the time. It's necessary. It has to be kept sharpened. Not that if you hear once and leave it. No, it won't come to your benefit. Like a sword, if you are used as a soldier, if you are using a sword while as a soldier, that sword should be always sharpened and kept ready to be used any time when you want to use it. So, jnanam, this knowledge is like that. Jnanasin opasanaya shitena. You have to constantly sharpen that sword of knowledge and keep it ready to be used when it is required. That is what Krishna is saying here. Jnanasin upasanaya shitena. How do you sharpen that? Through upasana. Upasana is a process by which you sharpen that knowledge. That means shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Those three processes, that is the upasana. And continuously hearing, studying and reflecting on that. Reflecting on that and holding on to that. That's the way to sharpen that sword of knowledge. Jnanasin upasanaya shitena. And then chitva munirgam vijaratya trishna. That with that he should be able to cut through this illusion and come to the platform of realization. Come to the platform of realization. Chitva. And suppose you have a person has succeeded to cut through that, then he chitva muni. He becomes a muni. Munirgam. Muni means that he has come to his realized platform, and shariram or body, mind, intelligence, all these things has come to a standstill. It's not operating anymore. Mind, body, intelligence, everything has come to a standstill. Complete control on the senses, the mind, the intelligence, everything, and it comes to a platform of stability. And that means this body, which is nothing but the upadhi, in this body, that when the body has become completely standstill, at that time there will be no more changes that will happen to this body. That will happen to this body. So, a person who has come to that state, that's what it is. You will see this jnanasin opasanaya shitena, the same expression from Jadabharata also in the Bhagavatam. If you look, you will see what he said to Rahugana. He said to Rahugana exactly the same word he has used. Here he has used jnanasin opasanaya shitena. In the fifth canto, if you look, Jadabharata's teachings, you will see there, Brahmana Vacha. If you look at that chapter 5.12, chapter 5.12, there you will see the same thing used. He says that Tasmanaro asanga susanga jadam jnanasine haiva vratnamoha harim tadiha kathana shrutha abhyam labdasmradaryatyadi paramadhvanam. So, tasman naro asangasu sangajadam jnanasi. Jnanasi means the sword of knowledge. The sword of knowledge. With this sword of knowledge, one should cut through that ignorance. And jnanasi. Jnanasi neheiva vivakna moha. Jnanasi neheiva vivakna moha. Harim tadiha kathana shudhabhyam. Kathana shudhabhyam. Labdhasmradyatyadi paramadhvanam. So, when the Brahmana was talking to Rahugana, Brahman Rahugana Samvadam, that is, in the Bhagavadam, he mentions there exactly the same thing, what Krishna is saying here. That there is a sword, which is the sword of knowledge, and that sword has to be sharpened all the time. You have to keep it sharpened. All the time you have to keep it sharpened and kept ready to be used when it is required. It is that what that means is, that it is no good simply hearing Bhagavatam once and leaving it. Oh, I've heard everything before. That is not the right thing. Right thing is, Krishna says, you should hear and you should practice it and make it your own. Make it your own. And that means, jnanasina, jnanasina, Upasanaya shitena. You have to sharpen through, by upasana, you have to sharpen that sword of knowledge. Through upasana, you have to sharpen that. And if you do like that, chitva munirgam vijaratya trishna, then he will free himself from the munirgam vijaratya trishna. He will get free from that thing called trishna. Trishna means the trishna means that desires. That desires will go away, and with the result is that chitva. And if somebody is able to do that, get free from the desires, then everything will change. That's what he's saying here. And also what will happen is that when there is no more changes happening, he has come to the platform of the soul, and he is completely established in the blissful nature of the soul. Such a person, a muni, he has no desires. That is the thing. That is that state. He has no desires. That is the state of freedom from desire, desirelessness. And he can wander around in this world fully free in complete bliss. Fully free in complete bliss. Because he has no desires, he has nothing to achieve here, he doesn't have to go anywhere, and he does not have to want anything, he does not want to see anything, he doesn't have to go anywhere, and nothing is there, and therefore, so other people may think that he is still living in this world, but just like them, but they are like the water in lotus flower in the water. Lotus flower in the water. They have become to come to that stage. Means that they have no connection with the world. They have no connection with the world. Why? Because he has been taken out of the water. For other people may think that he is still inside, like us, like anybody else. He is also a member of the world, a person in this world. But actually, he has come out of the world. He is free from this world. And similarly, he has no contact with anything in this samsaram. There is no contact with anything else. And once he has experienced this this state, once he has experienced this state, amulam etat bahirupa rupinam manovaja prana sharira karmam yanasi nopasaniya shidena chitva munir gam vicharati vicharatya adrishna. Trishna has gone away, all desires have gone away. Krishna uses this muni, you will see when he is talking about a first class devotee. In the Bhagavadam you will see that. A first class devotee is nirabeksham munim shandam nirvayam samadarshinam anuprajamya aham nityam puyeye tyankri renubi. I think it is in the 14th chapter. Yeah? 16, is it? Yeah. Niravaksham munim shandam nirvairam samadarshinam anubrajamyaham nityam puyeye tyankri renubhi. 16, yeah. See that? So this, that is that state. Niravaksham, he has no desires anymore. Shandam, he is muni. And nirvairam, no enemies, friends, nothing here. Samadarshanam, equal vision everywhere. Krishna is saying, such a devotee, I follow him, who has come to that state of desirelessness, freedom from everything. Freedom from everything. So, anuprajamyaham nityam puyeye tyankri renubhi. It is the same thing what he is talking about here. Niravaksham unim shantam nirvairam samadarshinam anuprajamyaham nityam puyeye tyankri renubhi. The same thing Krishna is saying here, chitva munirgam vijarati adrishna. So, So Krishna says that that muni jnanasana upasanaya shidena chitva muni gam vijarati atrishna. Without any desires he wanders in this world, he wanders around in this world. What is required for that? That is the next verse. Jnanam viveko nigamastapascham pratyakshamaidikyam madhanimanam adhyandayorasayadeva kevalam kalaschahe duschatadeva madhyem. Krishna says, Jnanam vivekam nigamam tapasya pratyaksham aidikyam anumanam. So many things. Knowledge, jnanam, vivekam, discrimination power, nigamam, authority of the Vedas, knowledge of the Vedas, tapasya, austerities, pratyaksham, direct perceptions, aidihyam. Aidihyam means what comes from the history, what we deduct. Anumanam, our conclusions from all these things are meant for to understand this world properly. We require all these things to understand this world properly. What all? Knowledge, the power of discrimination, authority of the Vedas, austerities, direct perceptions, aidihyam. What's the word in English? Aidihyam. Aidihyam, yeah, coming from the Puranas, whatever you have from the history, what we receive, that understanding, anumanam, conclusions, what we have, deductions, whatever we deduce from that. All these things are necessary to understand this world. World means this material existence. And what do we, how do we understand the world? The word in the Shastram is mithya pratyaya. Mithya pratyaya means that world has a certain way of getting us into illusion, to think it's reality. But to come out of that, to know that it is mithya, false, it's called mithya pratyam. That mithya pratyam, we have to get convinced ourselves. When we come here, without any of these things, when we look at the world, we think it is permanent. Is it not? It's permanent and we think it's real. The world is real. So to take us out of that illusion of that this is real and this is permanent, and that and we are temporary, this is all illusion. To come out of this, and this is called mithya pratyaya. Mithya pratyaya means to feel that something is wrong there, something is wrong here. That when you see the world, you think it's real. When you see that it's permanent, and when you see that you could yourself, you are thinking, I'm temporary, I'm gone with this body. This misunderstanding in us is called mithya pratyam. So mithya pratyam, it's a part of this creation. So to free ourselves from that, these are the things which can help you, Krishna is saying. These are the things which can help us in that. Which one? Jnanam vivego nigamastavascha pratyaksham aidikyam madhanumanam and adhyandayorasya deva kevalam kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhyam. So, a person should have all of them. If not, at least some of them, one must have. Some of them. Either he should have knowledge, proper knowledge, or he should have a capacity for proper discrimination, or he should have the knowledge of the Shastra. Any of them should be there. Some of them should be there. Without any of these things, if one lives in this world, he won't know it. That's what Krishna mentions there. Then what else? He said, some of them should be there at least, a few of them. At least he should have the authority of the Vedam, acceptance of the knowledge of the Vedam, Rishi's conclusions, austerities, or he should have the capacity to see the world, directly perceive, and able to come to certain intelligent conclusions from that. That requires some good imagination power and good intelligence to think in the proper way. Or he should have read from the history. For example, aidihyam is that. That is like the Puranas. And there are For example, in everywhere there are history of this world, which you hear from the previous generations, what they have spoken about, what happened at different places, at different situations. From there, able to utilize that and able to take advantage of that, aitihyam. Anumanam, and able the capacity to come to deduce some conclusions from that, proper conclusions. All these things will help a person to understand the temporary and false nature of this creation. The falsity of the creation. How false this whole creation is. One thing, it is constantly changing. Secondly, we do not understand it properly. So, mithya pratyayam, these are all sources which can help a person in understanding the falsity of this creation. Why Krishna is saying like that is, if one does not have all these things, just otherwise if somebody tells you something, by hearing that alone, it will not happen. By hearing that alone, it will not happen. Because reason is, everyone, ultimately it is one's experience that makes everything accepted by anybody. One's own experience of something, isn't it? If you are experienced yourself, then you will go by that, rather than anything else. So when one is experiencing, that means when one is experiencing happiness and distress, something he likes and he doesn't dislike, and all kinds of different bhavam abhavam, that means all different kinds of thoughts and actions are coming and moving away, fresh thoughts are coming and different things are happening. So, when all these things are going on, a person who has intelligence and who is experiencing that, then he will know that what is spoken in the Shastram, what is spoken in the Puranam, what is spoken in the by direct perception, everything is correct. Even though all this knowledge is there in this world, knowledge Shastram, spiritual knowledge, the power of discrimination, and austerities, and direct perception, aidihyam, anumanam, all these things are present there. In the light of one's own experience, one should be able to see these things properly. Even though these things are present there, when you are experiencing that, it's an altogether completely different story. Because when you are experiencing, that is when you get convinced that these conclusions are correct. Shastric conclusions are correct. The knowledge in the Shastram is perfect. It is through experience that you accept it. It's only through experience you can accept it. Because experience is the final thing that puts the stamp on everything. Even though you may have studied in the Shastram, even though you have heard from the Puranam, from the stories in the past, and you have used your mind to analyze, intelligence to analyze it, and to extract the knowledge out of it, whichever way your mind and intelligence has worked together and brought some understanding. All that, at the end of the day, if you have experience in life of that, what has been spoken there, then you will straight away accept it. You see? So that is the reason why we study Shastram. And in the light of your own experience in the world, you have to compare both. What you are hearing from Bhagavatam and your own experience in life, you have to bring it together. And then, if what is spoken in the Shastram is what's happening in life, then you can accept it without difficulty. This is how realization comes. Both are required. Because pratyaksham, he is saying there, pratyaksham aidikyam adhanumanam. Jnanam vivego negamastapascha. Pratyaksham aidikyam adhanumanam. Adhyandayorase yadeva kevalam. Kalascha hedischa tadeva madhye. Because otherwise, if you have simply heard from the Shastram, but you never bother to compare that with your own life, then it won't work. It won't work. Because the highest authority for everybody in this world is his own experience. That's what he goes by, isn't it? Because when you are experiencing, that is what makes you realize it, that these things are the truth. And so everybody is experiencing in life something. All the time he is going through different experiences, isn't it? So if you are not experiencing it, if you are not experiencing anything, and you are experiencing something different where the Shastram is spoken. For example, Shastram says so many things to us, is it not? We are not this body, we are not this mind, we are not this intelligence, and various other things, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. But all that experience, all that knowledge in the book will not be accepted till it comes in your experience level. So therefore, to know things properly, in the proper way, knowledge is required. Knowledge is required. Knowledge means what? Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Hearing, contemplation on that, and able to hold on to that, and then finally to compare that with one's own life. In everyone's life, everybody has some experience in different ways about this world. And for that, normally one should go to, in the normal procedure is, one should approach a teacher, spiritual master, or acharya, who is established in the truth, who is established in the truth. And from him, he should hear the nature of this material existence, and how to know the soul, how to realize the self, and he has to get that understanding from him. And imagine this, if one has to go to an acharya, or a teacher, or a spiritual master, and if he has to ask this question, that I am told that I am spirit soul, how can I know him as spirit soul? I am told I am spirit soul, how will I know that I am spirit soul? How will I experience that I am spirit soul? If you are asking this question, that question itself is a proof of how much we have degraded. If you have to ask this question, that this is from Krishna's point of view, that's what I'm saying, not mine, Krishna's point of view. Krishna is saying that after approaching a spiritual master, if you have to ask him this question, that I am told by the Shastram that I'm spirit soul, but I'm not experiencing that. How can I experience that I am spirit soul? If you are asking this question, that itself, Krishna is saying, is an indication that how far you have fallen down. How far you have fallen down from where? From the truth. From the truth. How far you have fallen from the truth or degraded. It's a proof of that. It's a proof of that. That because at no stage we are always spirit soul. Always we are spirit soul. Under no circumstances, at no stage, we have not changed from that. We were always spirit soul. It has never changed. So, and we are always spirit soul, and we will always remain the spirit soul. And now and past also, we were spirit soul. Never we have become anything else from that. So, in such a person, for him to become Atma again, is any effort required? That's what Krishna is saying. You have never been anything else than Atma. You are always Atma. Even now you are Atma. But you are thinking that, what do I have to do to become Atma, to come back to Atma? And if you are asking that question, Krishna is saying that, how far you have fallen away from the truth. And even now, no special effort is necessary to come back to Atma. Because a man, he goes and asks, what do I have to do to become a man? He's already a man. And he's going and asking this question. So, nothing you have to do to become, you're already a man, isn't it? Similarly, Atma, you are always Atma. You have never been anything else apart from Atma. Always you are Atma. So, If a person comes and asks that question, how do I become Atma and what do I have to do that? What that means is, that means that he has fallen away from that state very far. He has fallen a long way from that state. He has fallen away from that state. What is the reason for that? Why did this situation happen? Because of his lack of intelligence, avivekam, lack of discrimination, or what they call it as mudha. Krishna calls that person as mudha. So that means he has forgotten about himself. He has forgotten about himself. And that means to such an extent that mudhatha. Mudhatha means maudhyam. Maudhyam has come to him. And that mudhatha or maudhyam will only go by constantly hearing Vedanta. That's the only way it can happen, by constantly hearing about that truth. So that is the reason why they say you should experience, go to an acharya who has realized this truth and hear from him, and that tattvam, what he had heard from him, properly engage in the mananam, contemplation and the vidyasanam, and he has to make it his own. So what he is doing is, he is able to experience that asalbhavam. Asalbhavam of the material world, which is full of asat, and alma, which is sat. He gets it back to him. And the asalbhavam of the creation and the salbhavam of the alma, he gets it back. Suppose a person has started experiencing Atma. Little by little he started experiencing Atma. That means he will know at that time the salbhavam of Atma and the asalbhavam of the creation. And then he will know that this world, what has been created, actually doesn't exist. And Atma alone is the reality. And that is the only truth. That is what he is saying here. That adhyandayorasya yadeva kevalam kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. Kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. For example, actually, all the time what is present is only Atma. But we are not convinced, gets convinced on that. We are not getting convinced on that. Because of that, we are still remaining in the state where we are. But properly, one hear Vedantam from Upanishads, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, and all other texts, all the situation can change. And Mahavakyams like Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahma, all these things are, when properly studied and absorbed, then and heard from an Acharya's face, then things will change. But he will also get convinced that this material existence is not real. And but through knowledge and through discrimination, when he has properly analyzed this tattvam, and through discrimination, suppose he come to know about it, then he will know that there's only these two things, self and the non-self. Self is the real, a non-self is called anatma. In other words, if you say anatma is the drishyam, self is the drashta, is the seer and the seen. And when he is experiencing all that, he realizes that he is separate from the drishyam. Drashtava is different from the drishyam. So he is able to understand that he himself is separate from the world. So through discrimination, first he has to know the self and the non-self, Atma and Anatma. And that is called Nirupinam. He says there that one who is able to come to that state, then he knows that Atma is never under material existence. Atma, and he is not under material existence, but instead material existence has come later. Atma was always as it was. No change in the status with the Atma. Material existence has come later And so, because it has come, it can go also. It can go also. His own identity is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. He is eternal, pure, fully conscious, and always liberated. And he will be able to know about him. So here Krishna mentions Nigamam. Nigamam means, Nigamam particularly refers to Upanishads. Nigamam refers to Upanishads. And Upanishads and the Prakarana Granthams, which are connected with the Upanishads, and that has to be studied through the Acharyas. Egameva Adhidiyam Brahma Nehamanasti Kinchana. All the Shurivakyam he has to hear from the face of the Acharya, and he has to study with cause and effect, Karyakaranam Bandham. And then he will not have that illusion anymore about himself, who he is. And suppose he didn't do it, and and somehow or the other, if we sit alone and analyzes these things in proper steadiness, so that means mind, intelligence, senses, prana, if he is able to bring them all under control without thinking anymore anything about any other things in this world, always turning his attention inwards, and if one can do that, even in that situation, after a while he will also know that material world is false. Material world is false. So whichever process one follows, pratyaksham, aidihyam, anumanam. Three things Krishna has spoken there. Jnanam, vivegam, nigamam, tapasya. Pratyaksham, aidihyam, anumanam. So all the objects what you are seeing in this world, through your senses, mind and the intelligence, all of them, you analyze them, you evaluate them. And how have they come? How were they created? And what is the root cause behind it? Where are they coming from? And what all things are joined in these different objects? In this way, evaluating them, and if you review them, you will see there, if you are following these different processes, either through knowledge, discrimination, all this requires time and some kind of evaluation, through for which you have to devote some time. And if you do like that, somehow or the other, at some point in time, in his understanding, his prajna, prajna means his spirit of that inquiry, will go in the right path. Will go in the right path. That is Krishna's promise. Krishna is saying that if you are dedicated to spiritual life, and if you are reading Shastram, from Shastram we receive some understanding. Similarly, you have certain capacity to discriminate things, vivekam. Then nigamam, authority, if you are willing to accept of the Upanishads and the Rishis. Then you have a certain degree of austerity in life, penances and austerities, withdraw from the world, satisfied within yourself with what we have. And direct perception what you have in this world is also giving you some conclusions. If all these things are present there, and then if you simply sit and absorb all these things and analyze within yourself, the prajna inside will be directed in the right direction. Why we are not getting that knowledge properly inside is, Shastram says it's due to impurities in the prajna. Ashuddhi. Ashuddhi of the prajna. Once who has got prajna shuddhi, he will go think in the right direction. To think in the right direction, what is required is prajna shuddhi. When prajna shuddhi is not there, it is difficult to turn the direction in the spiritual path in the proper way. You will get all kinds confused completely. All kinds of confusions will come, and you will go in the wrong way. In the wrong way. That happens. Because that is why prajna shuddhi, Krishna says, is important. You will see prajna shuddhi for a brahmachari and for one who has come to spiritual life. This prajna one should keep always in a pure state by proper food, proper sleep and proper association with the world in that way. So, and otherwise, one who does not do any of these things, Krishna is saying, he will never get convinced about the falsity of this world. One who does not believe in these things. He will never get convinced about the falsity of this world. That means he will always remain in that illusion of Maya. He will always be in that Maya. He will never be free from that. That is Krishna's point. He says here, Adhyandayo rasa yadeva kevalam kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. Because Krishna's logic is, what is present in the beginning and what is present in the end, and only that can remain in the middle also. So there was something in the beginning and there is something at the end. And in the middle also, it's only that thing that is present, although in our experience it may be different. We may be thinking that there is something else here. That's what that says. Adhyandayo rase deva kevalam kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. Nothing new can come in the middle. Why Krishna said that? In the beginning there is only Atma, Brahma. At the end also there is only Atma. So therefore in the middle also there is only Atma. This is the logic. In the beginning there is only Atma. It is from there creation comes. In the end also there is only Atma. So therefore in the middle also there is only Atma. What you are seeing as the form of this world, therefore is not real. It's not real. It is also Atma, but we have to know the world as Atma, not as the way we are perceiving through the senses. That is the point Krishna is making there. That Adhyandayo rasa yadeva kevalam kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. Due to the presence of time, kalascha hetuscha, due to the influence of time, madhye, in the middle, you are seeing something like the form of this world, so many namarubams, living entities, everything. They are not real. That's the point. Which is logical, is it not? In the beginning, there is only Atma, pure consciousness. At the end also, there is only pure consciousness. So Krishna is asking, how can there be something else in the middle? That is not possible. What is there in the beginning and what is present at the end can only be there in the middle also. But due to the influence of time, that you find all these different changes in the form of creation, different namarupam, different bodies, living entities, different species, all kinds of things. So these changes are therefore not real. In the middle also, there is only Atma, but in different forms, which are not real. Which are not real. That is what Krishna is saying in there. Kalascha hetuscha adhyandayo rasya yadeva kevalam. Kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. Kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. So, Krishna is saying that in the middle something else cannot happen. Something else cannot happen. Like gold, you have made jewelry out of the gold. And even though jewelry has been created, and once you finally melt the jewelry, it goes back to gold again, isn't it? So when it is in the form of jewelry, also it is still gold. It is still gold. And before it was made jewelry, only gold was there. And when you have made it as jewelry, it's also gold. And so in out of them, what is real then? Gold is real, not the jewelry, isn't it? So jewelry is known as gold. It is gold only is known as jewelry. It's only the gold that you are knowing as jewelry. How clear that is. And then, similarly, anything in this world, what it was in the beginning and what it is at the end, and that alone can be the same thing in the middle also. And similarly, this creation, prior to this creation, it was Brahman. Brahman. Tadeva Saumyam Asid. And before creation, it was Brahman. It was Brahman. And after devastations, it becomes Brahman again. Then from where this material world and material existences come, that is also Brahman. That is also Brahman. So what it is that Brahman we are experiencing in the form of this creation. In the form of this creation. Only thing is, we are knowing it in a wrong way. We are knowing this in a wrong way. So therefore, the only thing is that there is nothing has been created. Creation has not happened. And only the Brahman, due to the Brahman inside, due to Maya, or due to that illusion, we are seeing this as a world separately, and that is due to the ignorance. And this has to go.
Yanam viveko nigamastapascha pratyakshamaidihyam madhan athanumanam adyandayorasya deva kevalam kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhyem.
So, kalam, time, is working in the middle. Time comes in the middle, between the beginning and the end. In between the time comes. And it is only due to that these things have happened. You will realize that at that point. That's what Krishna is saying here. Swarnam, or gold, was there in the beginning and the end. And in the middle, it has become jewelry. It has become jewelry. So, if you ask the cause behind it, it is the time and also the goldsmith responsible for that, to turn the gold into jewelry. Isn't it? Yes, made that happen. And his actions, all these things have become the cause of that. So, when the goldsmith and the time and his actions all combine together, gold changes its form into jewelry. Similarly, Brahman is not Brahman anymore for us at the moment, and it has become what we call as creation, Krishna says, and it is not Atma anymore. It has become material world for us. It's become material world for us, just like we also, although we are Atma, we became Jiva in the same way. When we came into contact with the body, when we come into contact with the mind, intelligence, senses, everything, we became Jiva. Similarly, Brahman, this is in a smaller level, Vyashti level. In a Samashti level, when Brahman, when it came into contact with the time, in that process it changed, and this thing called creation, we are calling it as creation happen now. Actually, this creation is not different than Brahman. It is Brahman itself. But this Brahman has come to us. This is different than Brahman. That's the Brahman. Brahman means that illusion in us, telling us that this is nothing to do with the truth. It is something different than the truth. So, a kind of illusion that's been created by that. So, when we became Jiva, what all happened to us? We are also Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi, we say. But Aham Brahmasmi, how did we lose that state? We lost it because at some point in time, this contact with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything happened. And Jiva, it became Jiva because of the association with all these things. And then we start identifying with the body. Identifying with the body. And why did this happen? Kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. Kalascha hetuscha. By what cause this has happened? The cause behind that, and behind that cause there is time. The time is there. You can see that there is a cause behind this change. What has happened for us. From Aham Brahmasmi state, from Brahman realized state, how did we end up in this bodily identity? How did we end up here? That's what Krishna is saying. Kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. In the beginning we are Aham Brahmasmi.
At the end also we are Aham Brahmasmi. In the middle we are the body. In the beginning we are Aham Brahmasmi. At the end also we are Aham Brahmasmi. Because that's what it's all going to lead to. It's not that every day will be I'm the body. It won't be. But in the beginning we are the body. We are the body. Kalascha hedushcha tadeva madhye. So there is a cause that has happened and the effect of all that, and that cause is this kalam. Cause is that kalam, time. And the cause also karma. Karma. Kalascha hedushcha tadeva madhye. Karmam is the after effect. In the time, this is what happened. Cause for the causing, we getting material body, the cause of that is karma. And for engaging in karmam, the cause was desires. Desires inside. And the cause for the desire was ego, ahankaram. And in this way, if you keep going back, looking into the cause behind it, you will see that Brahmam itself is Brahmam itself is present in front of us in the form of this creation. We can understand that. We can understand that. That's what Krishna is explaining here, that that what is in the beginning and what is at the end is the only thing that can be in the middle as well. That's the first principle. What is in the beginning and what is at the end alone can be there in the middle. That alone can be there in the middle. So therefore, Brahman or Alpam was present in the beginning, Alpam was present at the end, so therefore in the middle also there is only Alpam. But due to Kalascha Hedushcha Tadeva Madhye, in the middle, the cause of time and its effect, has caused these changes to happen. And with the result of that, we got engaged in karmam. Karmam created vasanas. And with the result of the karmam, desires came in. And desires has come because ahankaram was there. We were operating, we were involved in karmam with ahankaram. With ahankaram, we were engaged in the karmam. And due to that, ahankaram, the desires have been created. And in this way, if you look, you will see attachment, desire, action, and finally bondage, having a material body. And that is the state where we are now. So Krishna is saying, in the beginning to end, there is only Alma present there. And that is the next words you will see. Yatha hiranyam sukhritam purastar paschascha sarvasya hiranmayasya tadeva madhye vivaharyamanam nanovadeshai ahamasya tadvad. Yatha hiranyam sukhritam purastar paschascha sarvasya hiranmayasya tadeva madhye vivaharyamanam nanavadeshai ahamasya tadvad. Hiranyam sukhritam hiranmayasya sarvasya hiranmayasya. Hiranmaya means golden jewelry, which is made of gold. In the beginning and the end it is gold. We call it as gold. So in the beginning there is only gold, in the end also there is only gold. So even though it takes in the form of jewelry in the middle, it is still gold. One who knows that, he does not require any conviction. He knows easily that it is all gold only, but in the form of jewelry. And he doesn't require any other things to convince him. Because in the middle, while vyavaharam goes on here in this world, this ahankaram, what is in between, in us, at that time, when jiva is born, and when the ahankaram is there, that it creates various kinds of ego, builds up inside, and it superimposes different identities. Just like when the gold is changing from one to another, in the middle it is developing different forms. Like you can say it becomes rings, it becomes necklace, jewelry, and then bangles, bells, anklets, all different formats of the same goal in different forms. Similarly, Krishna is saying that while Atma also, in between the beginning and the end, because it is identifies with the body, that also develops various identities, just like gold does into different forms. This also develops different identities, and therefore he experiences different designations here. He accepts different designations here. Man, woman, Indian American, or young man, old man. These are all superimposed ideas on us, which is not our real identity. That is what Krishna is pointing out here. So, when we impose this vipadesham it is called, nanapadeshe rashamasya tadwal, that yada hiranyam sukratam purasat, paschascha sarvasya hiranmayasya, tadeva madhye vyavaharyamanam, nanapadeshe ahamasya tadwat. This aham, which is our ahangaram inside, with that ahangaram, we are like the gold is changing into different things, bangles and chain and anklets and rings, and in that way different jewelry, gold becomes different jewelry. In the same way, this ahangaram inside also, nanabadeshai ahamasya tadvad, equally ahangaram also mixes with this world and takes different identities and designations here. That's the point Krishna is making there, that he has no choice, because all these designations are coming from due to kalpana. Kalpana means his imaginations in his head. He is this, he is that. Nobody, when you were born, you were not told you are Indian, American, European or anything like that. But after a short while, you start saying yourself that I am Indian, I am American, I am European. Where is it coming from? And that is what is called that vipadesham. Vipadesham is this, that you are accepting that because by now ahangaram has born. Ahangaram is inside. So ahangaram wants all this jewelry. Ahangaram's jewelry is all these things. That it wants these designations. I am Indian, I am American. But when you are born, nobody told you that you are Indian or American. But you have accepted that. Is it not? Similarly, you are accepting man, woman, this, that, so many different designations. Rich, poor, all kinds of designations. This is all a result of this. Like the jewelry change in the middle. Jewelry was gold in the beginning, gold at the end. In the middle, the jewelry was taken different forms and shapes. And it became different jewelry, isn't it? Like different kinds of jewelry. Similarly, due to the influence of the Brahman also goes through these changes. Brahman, how does it change? Brahman first changes into Ahangaram. Ahangaram is born when it became Jiva. And that Ahangaram has the same nature to change its identity. Like gold changes its identity and calls itself as I am bangle now, or I am ring now, or I am chain now, or I am a belt, golden belt now, or anklet now. Similarly, different designations it can take. Similarly, ahangaram also can do exactly the same thing. That is what Krishna is saying here. Yada hiranyam sugradam purastar, paschascha sarvasya hiranmayasya, tadeva madhye vyavaharyamanam, nanabadeshai ahamasya tadvad. Tadeva madhye vyavaharyamanam, due to vyavaharam only it happens. Vyavaharyamanam, nanabadeshai, different identities and designations, it will accept who? Aham. Ahamasya tadvat. Ahangaram will accept that. That's what he's saying there. Then, vijnanameda triyamasta mangam, gunatrayam karana karya kartu, samanyo yena vidriyena dascha, yena iva turiyena tadeva satyam. Vijnanameda triyamasta mangam, gunatrayam karana karya kartu, കാരണകാര്യകർത്തം സമന്വയേനം വ്യതിരേകദശ്ച യേനൈവ തുല്യേന തദേവ സത്യം.
verse 20. Krishna is saying that in all the three states, in all the three states, vijnana medha triyavastha mangam, there is only one knowledge. There is no three different knowledges. That's spiritual understanding. Vijnana medha triyavastha mangam. In all, that means in waking state, in the dream state, and in the deep sleep state, it is one knowledge that is present all the time. But how do you understand that? See, when you are in the vacant state, for example, how do you know that you are in the vacant state? The knowledge that you have, I am woken up now, I am in the vacant state, you are accepting that way. You are accepting the... And that knowledge, which gives you that awareness that you are in the vacant state, is the same knowledge which makes you feel that you are in the dream state. That knowledge in you, which makes you feel that you are in the vacant state, that is the same knowledge which makes you feel when you are in the dream state, which makes you feel when you are in the dream state. See that? See that? He's saying there that that is an important statement. You have to take it very seriously, because why? Vijnana medha triyavastha mangam. When you are studying these three states, you know, because it is too subtle, sometimes it's not getting in. And we think, oh, Krishna is saying something, what I got to do with it? You will think like that. Naturally, our mind, because prajna shuddhi is not there, that's why it is like that. When so many Vedantam, so many things are saying, either we'll fall asleep and go away from this whole thing. Because that is the prison we have been put into. We have to be conscious of this. That's why in the beginning itself, what did Krishna say? Imagine how degraded you are. That's the first thing he is telling us. How degraded you are, first understand that, Krishna is saying. That you have fallen away from the truth to so far away that even that, to ask this question that how do I come back to Atma? If somebody is asking that question, Krishna is saying he is completely degraded. Whereas we think, oh, if you are not following four regulative principles, you are degraded. Krishna is not saying like that. Krishna is saying you are so degraded that you are asking this question that how do I become Atma? How degraded you have to be to ask that question? He said that in the beginning. And that exactly is what's coming up here also again. He says, your prajna, if it is not able to capture this knowledge properly, if it is not able to get in, and if it is blocked from inside all the time, it's very difficult, Krishna says, that nothing you can do about it, that life after life carry on the way we are living in this world. So, vijnana medha triyavastha mangam, Krishna is saying that the knowledge in you which makes you realize that you are in the vacant state, is that the same knowledge which makes you aware that you are in the dream state? And it is that same knowledge that you are aware in the deep sleep state also. Did you get that point? That your awareness which is telling you that you are in the vacant state now, that is not intelligence or mind. That awareness which is making you aware that you are in the vacant state now is not mind and intelligence. That is to do with your awareness. It has nothing to do with the, and it is that same awareness that comes in the dream state and make you, and when you are in the dream state, you are conscious about the dream, aren't you? You are separately from the dream and observing the dream in everything, experiences of the dream in the dream state. So who is experiencing that? It's the same awareness that's experiencing the dream. And then when you go into the deep sleep state, you are not experiencing that awareness completely because of the tamogunam that is present there, but experience of that bliss of the sleep, deep sleep is there, which is still, who holds it? The same awareness which was there in the vacant state and in the dream state. And it is that awareness, Krishna calls it as knowledge. Have you noticed that? Krishna says, that is called vijnanam. Vijnanam edatriyavastamangam. That vijnanam, Krishna is not calling material knowledge as knowledge. Krishna doesn't even call it as knowledge. Krishna's knowledge is that awareness, that fine awareness inside, which is making us all the time conscious of our existence here, in the form of awakened state, dream state, deep sleep, in all the three states. He is saying here, vijnanam edatriyavastamangam. Gunatrayam karana kajakartru samanyayenam vidriyekadascha yenaiva turyena tadeva satyam. That therefore, in the vacant state, what it has done, this awareness, that it has come in the form of objects, names and forms in front of us. That awareness is registering everything in the form of names and different forms, padartha products in this world. And it is the same awareness that's registering all the names and forms that you are perceiving in the dream state also. In the dream state also. And it is the same awareness that is perceiving in the deep sleep also, that bliss, that who is saying, I am enjoying that bliss. Who is enjoying? That awareness is enjoying that. So awareness is enjoying that, and that awareness Krishna calls it as vijnanam here. Vijnanam eda triyavastha mangam gunatrayam karana karyakartram. And that has never changed. That is always the same. And when will you understand that? When you come to the fourth state, turiyam. It is in the turiyam state you will understand that what you are experiencing in the turiyam, at that state, the fourth state, that time you will know that it is that awareness that has been operating through all the three states as well. And because in turiyam state you don't have vyavaharam, there is no vyavaharam, and there is no kalpana in there, imaginations or any kind of transactions there. Purely you are situated on the platform of knowledge, satamatram. And at that time it manifests, that awareness manifests. And it is that awareness which manifests in the turiyam state is what you are now perceiving in these three states in different forms. In vacant state, dream state and in the deep sleep. The reason why these three forms have come to it, it has only one form actually, awareness. Why did these three different forms happen to that awareness? Because of the influence of Maya's power, which is Triguna, three modes of material nature. Because it came into contact with the three modes of material nature, immediately it has lost its awareness, lost its pure identity, and has started identifying with the vacant state, dream state, and in the deep sleep. And in reality, the three modes of material nature is not real. That's another thing. Three modes of material nature is also not real. And this contact with the contact between the awareness and the three modes of material nature is also not real. Is also not real. And but therefore, these three states of existence called Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is also not real. Gunatrayam karana karyakartram samanyayena vidriyegadascha yena iva turiyena tadeva satyam. In all these things, Krishna says the only satyam is turiyam. See that last line? Yenaiva turiyena tadeva satyam. Nothing else is satyam. Only turiyam is satyam. Only turiyam is satyam. Nothing else is satyam. That's what Krishna is saying. Yenaiva turiyena tadeva satyam. So, Krishna first thing is, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, Krishna is saying, is not truth. Like the world is not truth, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti is also not truth. And similarly, all what you are experiencing in the dream state, although they are not real, at the time when you are in that dream state, it's real for you. In the dream state, when you are in the dream state, it's real at that time. Similarly, the vacant state, also in the same way, you feel that it is real, somehow you are coming to that realization at that time. And till you know, yenaiva turiyena tadeva satyam, till you come to that platform of turiyam, till up to that point,
you will be in either of these three states. You will be in either of these three states, and that three aspects of Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti will stay here with us. So that is that one verse, Krishna is important thing saying here. The moment you come to know the truth, then it comes to an end. It comes to an end to all the... So that means, if you want to really know the truth, you have to get to the Turiyam state. That's the first thing. You have to come to the Turiyam state. Turiyam, Turiyavastha means that through Upasana and Sadhana and Upasana, everything, one has to come to that platform. But without any... This is from the Jnanamargam Krishna is talking about. That means one has to cultivate knowledge, inquiry of the self through the process in the way Upanishads have spoken. But if one does not do any of them, and then he has to do, hear about it first, and then he has to do the vijaram about the tattva. He has to properly scrutinize it and convince himself that what he is hearing is the correct thing. This is the correct thing. And then he has to develop his own power of discrimination, intelligence. If you do not do all these things and remain in this world as, I don't know, remain in this world as mudha, that's the word, Krishna's favorite word. Remain in this world as mudhas, ajñas, ajñani, no knowledge, ignorant, prakritam, very crude. In that way, if you remain here, thinking that all that what I see is only the right truth, only what I hear is the truth, this is the problem. It is, Krishna calls them as mudhas. Those who believe like that, only what I see I will believe. Only what I hear is the, what I hear and what I see is the truth, nothing else is the truth. Like our scientists, is it not? Krishna calls them as mudha. That they don't know, Krishna saying, that you're accepting all that as the truth, and you are living in this world in that way, ignorant way, and only believing what you are seeing and what you are hearing, and then you are busy with all the other vyavaharam in this world, and living as karmis, and in that way you continue, then the result of that is you will feel that this world is real. You will feel that the world is real, and then you will continue to experience distress here, and thinking that one day you will come out of this and become happy. In that illusion, you will continue living here. That's the warning Krishna is giving here. Now Krishna is saying to us that if you do not, first of all he says, Satyam is only perceived in the Turiyam state, in the fourth state. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, you are perceiving with that awareness. Awareness is telling you, I am in the vacant state now. It's not my mind and intelligence telling me I am in the vacant state. Mind and intelligence has nothing to do with it. It's only the awareness that's telling me I am in the vacant state. And when I am dreaming also, it is only my awareness. In my awareness, I am conscious of the dream going on. Similarly, when I go into deep sleep also, although I don't have body, mind, intelligence, ego and everything, still that bliss that is being experienced is in the awareness. Is in the awareness. Avabhodam, it is called. Anandam, avabhodam. Anandam is bliss. Avabhodam is awareness. Awareness. So satya chitta anandam, that chitta is this avabhodam or anandam. Chit shakti. That is called anandam or avabhodam. And it is that chitta that is present in the vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, and all the time keeping you aware of who you are. Not the body, not in terms of the body, your existence as consciousness. Your existence or consciousness of your existence is that awareness which is called the chitta. And it is that chit that is present in the vacant dream and deep sleep states. But it's pure in the Turiyam state. In Turiyam states you are that. Whereas all other three states you are corrupted. With the body, mind, intelligence, everything. The result of all that, Krishna is saying here that you will, and you can only reach that Turiyam state only through practice. Practice, which means Krishna is saying about cultivation of spiritual knowledge and proper scrutiny of that,
and establish, getting established in the tattvam. If you do that, you will come out of this, these three states, and come to the fourth state. But if you don't do that, do not create any discrimination, but live as a mortals in this world, as agnis in this world, only believing what you see is the truth and what you hear is the truth. And then with that understanding, busy with all the other vyavaharam in this world and living as a karmi. Karmi means one who works and one who wants a result all the time from that karmi. And if you live like that, then it is not possible, Krishna says, to realize that. So the result of that will be, Krishna says, you will start feeling that the world is real. That's the problem. You will start feeling that the world is real. And not only that, you will start experiencing the miseries of this world as well. All the distress will also, you will experience. But still, you will be living in this world thinking that one day everything is going to be better. That illusion. Thinking that everything is going to change, one day I'm going to be happy. It is dukkha-purnam. Dukkha-purnam means it's full of miseries here. Only two things are in this world permanent. One is Krishna and the other one is distress. These two things are permanent here. When we come crying, live in this world crying, leave this world crying. So dukkha-purnam it is. And knowing this, but we won't give up. We will still think one day it's going to change. That's the maya, that's the illusion. And that is the experience of this material existence, nature of the material existence. So, all these things are happening because of the change in the modes of nature. Three modes of material nature. Gunabhava it is. So, Jagrat, this is the same thing in Bhagavad Gita also spoken in a different way. Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti we call here. And in the another form it is called Stulam Sushmam Karanam. Another form. In Upanishads it is like that. Stulam Sushmam Karanam. In the Bhagavad Gita you will see Adhyalvam Adibhutam Adideivam. Remember? In the sixth chapter these three words are used. Adhyalvam Adibhutam Adideivam. Vastu is same but addressed in different ways. In different books. So, Adibhutam Adhyalvam Adideivam. In three forms, we are experiencing that. In fact, all these three forms, Adhyalpam, Adibhutam, Adideivam, all this is due to Gunabhava. Gunabhava means activities of Maya. Maya creates these changes. So, once you have realized Atma, then Maya goes away. Once you have realized Atma, Maya goes away. Then afterwards, you don't have to discuss about the activities of Maya. Activities of Maya. Because only because we are not realizing the self who we are, all this variegatedness of the creation, nanatvam, vedabuddhi, all these things are happening to us. If we realize the self, then we will lose this. Which one? This vedabuddhi will go. If we realize the self, this nanatvam will go. Krishna calls it as nanatvam vedadir gunai. Remember that? When he calls that nanatum bedadir gunai. Where did he say that? He mentioned that in the seventh chapter. I think it is in the seventh chapter. When he started the instructions, he said, nanatum bedadir gunai. Or in the tenth. So, often, if you keep on reading, you will see Krishna is pointing out certain fundamental problems what we have got. Fundamental problems. Nanatvam creates this, that Veda Buddhi. Yeah. Pumso ayuktasya nanartho. Brahmasak gunadosha bhag karmam akarma vigarmedi gunadosha dhiyo bhida. Gunadosha dhiyo bhida. Tasmad yuktendriya gramam yukta chittam itan jagat atma nishasva vidatam atmanam yadishvare.
So, whatever he has spoken there, he is bringing it back again. That the nanatvam, how nanatvam? Again, you will see in the third verse in this chapter, Taijase nidrayabhanne pindastho nashta chedana mayam pratpanodhi mrityum va tadvad nanartha drukpuman. Nanartha. Nanartham has happened. Nanartha druk puman. When you see nanartham, Vedabuddhi comes. Vedabuddhi comes. That is what he is saying there. That's what he is saying there. And so here, vijnanameda triyavastha mangam gunatrayam karana karya kartram samanyuyena vedireka dascha yenaiva turiyena tadeva satyam. Yenaiva turiyena tadeva satyam. So, then next verse. Nayat purasta dudayana paschal madhyajatannam vyapadesha matram budam prasiddham cha parena yadhyat tadeva datsya didime manisha. Nayapurastha udayanna paschal madhyeja tannavyapadesha matram budam prasiddham cha parena yadhyan tadeva datsya didime manisha. In the beginning, what is not there, and in the same thing in a different way, Krishna is saying here. In the beginning, what is not there, and at the end, what is not there, that cannot be what is not there, that cannot be present in the middle. That cannot be present in the middle. Because, suppose, see, take for example, a bangle. There was no bangle in the beginning, and in the end also you didn't have a bangle. But in the middle there cannot be a bangle. Unless there is gold in the middle, beginning and the gold in the end, there can be a bangle in the middle. Similarly, when you went to sleep, you didn't take anything with you. And when you come back from the sleep, you're not bringing back anything. You're not earning anything in the sleep. Is it not? Not bringing anything. So, before the sleep and after the sleep, before you went to sleep and after you woke up from the sleep, what you're experiencing there in the dream, you're not accepting it as real. That's the reason dream is not real. When you went to bed, you didn't take it with you. When you came back from the sleep, it wasn't there. But in the middle, you have experienced in the form of dream so many things. In the form of so many things. Where did they come from? If you think about that, you can see that it is also not real. You are able to say straight away, it's also not real. Similarly, when you are born, you are not bringing anything with you. And when you are leaving also, you are not taking anything with you. So, this experience of the world, what we have now, that it's not there in the beginning at the end, but in the middle we are experiencing in this world so many things. So, where did they come from, this experience in the middle? It was not there when we came to this world. When we leave this world, it's not there. But in the middle we have all the experience of this world. Where did they come from? And that is what Krishna is saying, Vyabhadesha Matram. Vyabhadesha means, the word used is Vyabhadesha Matram. Vyabhadesha Matram means that is not real, but it is kalpana, imaginations. It's an imagination. Everything is an imagination. It cannot be real. That is Krishna's point. Because when you came here, you didn't have this knowledge or this experience. When you are leaving also, it's not there. In the middle you are experiencing all the problems of this world, miseries, various miseries, and they are not real. Krishna is saying, it cannot be real because it is Vyabhadesha Matram. Vyabhadesham it is called. Krishna has used the word Vyabhadesha Matram, and this is, Krishna says, my opinion. Nayat Purastad, verse 21. Nayat Purastad Udayanna Paschal Madhyeja Tanna Vyabhadesha Matram Budam prasiddham cha parena tadyadhyan tadeva tatsyadidime manisha. Inime manisha. Manisha means my opinion.
Krishna is saying, it's my opinion, he's saying. That means, madhyeja chandam vyabhadesha matram. When you were born, you had no clue about this world and its experience. You had no clue. When you are leaving this world also, all your experience is over and everything is left behind here. And you are going. You are leaving this world and going. Leaving the body, mind, everything here. And you are leaving this world. As awareness, you are leaving this world. And when you came to this world, you didn't have anything. Any knowledge. When you are leaving, it's finished and you are gone. You are not taking anything from here. And because you are not taking anything from here in that way, all that what you are experiencing here, Krishna is saying, in the form of happiness and distress, they are not real. Vivadesha matram, bhutam prasiddham cha parena yad yat, tadeva tatsyadidi me manisha. That is my opinion. Krishna is trying to convince us the world is not real. What can he do? He is also feeling difficulty. We are not willing to accept it. We go on fighting, and so, but he has to struggle so much to convince us that the world is not real. And therefore all these verses just to support that what he has spoken before in the Ekadashi Skandam is all about that. So, in your past experience, for example, some things were not present, but they are present now. Some things which was not present in your past experience, they are present now. They are present now. Because then you are continuously you are changing, isn't it? So in that process of changing in your life, in this world, experiences, so many new things are coming, a lot of things are going away. New people are coming in life, old people are leaving. People are coming and going all the time in your experiences in this world. Like parents leave us, children come in. Like this, but you are same, you are experiencing all these things through your experiences with them. So, in course of time, they also go and something else will come into your life. Something else can come into your life. So, constantly, these two, and equally, past, present and future, time, which is changing, is also bringing these changes in us, in the form of adhyalpam, adhibhutam, adhidevam, what Krishna calls it in the Bhagavad Gita. So it is these changes, what is constantly happening, is what you are calling as life. What you call as life. From the spiritual platform, these are nothing but what they call this word vibhadesham. Vibhadesha matram, he calls it as. And when you are experiencing it as life in this world and we are giving such an importance to it as our, after all it's my life, I am suffering and this, that and the other, all due to that ajnanam that has gone in. We are identifying with them, suffering from that. So Krishna is saying that thing itself, what you call as your world experience and all that, that itself is not real. There is no tattvam in that. Therefore, before you have started experiencing that, and before it was destroyed, and if you have succeeded in convincing yourself that in the middle what you are experiencing is also not real, if you have succeeded in that, then then you will know that all these things, what Krishna uses that word, vibhadesham. Vibhadesham. That means, just like you are saying here, that before this life started, this world didn't exist for us. Before we started this life, this world didn't exist for us. When we leave this world, also, we are cut off from this world. We are lost it, isn't it? When we die, that's what happens. Our connection with the world is broken. We leave and go. So, when we came, we had no connection. When we leave, connection is broken. In between, these experiences had come. And we are saying, that Krishna is saying to us, if you can understand the falsity of this middle experience, what you have, then you will know that it is only a vibhadesham. That's the word Krishna is using there. Vibhadesham. Vibhadesham means it's not true. It's false.
All worldly experience is false. That's the Krishna's point. All experience is false. We accept it or not, that's another thing. That depends on our depth of understanding and also to extent we have accepted Krishna. How much you have accepted Krishna, that's what it depends on. If you have accepted Krishna, you will agree with Krishna. But if you don't accept Krishna, then you will have to continuously fight against it, as Krishna said before, isn't it? So acceptance means that Krishna is telling us that this is the world, this is what worldly experience means. That when you came here, you didn't have anything, you didn't know about this world. You established your connection with this world after coming here. And while leaving this world, your connection is in 1 second broken, everything, when you leave this body. Only when the body itself is a false thing, world is a false thing, and mind is a false, intelligence is false, everything Krishna puts into one category called asata. So looking from the spiritual point of view, from the spiritual platform, when you look at it, everything on the material level is false. World is false, body is false, mind is false, intelligence is false, senses are false, all your, because they are all false, your experience is also false. This is the conclusion from that. And therefore, you will know that it is Vibhadesham. And that is my opinion, Krishna is saying there. It's pure Vedantam, completely, Vedantam, you boiled and taken out the cream from that. It's that cream, that what he's saying there. Yeah, it's cream, that's what it is, yeah. So, and he's saying here, if a person gets convinced on that, how he gets convinced that, Krishna says what the process is one has to follow. If he gets convinced on that, it will not be very difficult to come out of it, from this entanglement. And because you are not getting convinced, ajnanam is still there. That's what it is. Ajnanam is still there. And that ajnanam is the cause of all bondage and distress in life. Cause of all bondage and distress in life. So that is what it is. This ajnanam. This ajnanam is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Ajnanenavardam jnanam tena muhyanti jandava. There is a verse there. Remember? Ajnanenavardam jnanam tena muhyanti jandava. Which is... Five fifteen. Ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava nadate kashyachil papam na chaiva sukrutam vibhu. Ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activity. Embodied being, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. So when we read Bhagavad Gita and when we read that line, Ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jandava, we think that, oh, it is something which I do not know in my mind and brain. That's what we think about it. Something I have not read or I have not got from the books. That's not what it is. It is this ajnanam. This ajnanam. That is ajnanam. Ajnanam is this. That when I came to this world, I didn't know about this world, what is on offer here. When I leave this world, my connection with the world is broken in one second. It's broken and I'm gone from here. In between, I had this body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. And in their association, altogether, I developed that ego, and with the result of that, I have identified with the body. And the after effect of all the experiences of miseries and bondage, everything I felt here, while being here, I got attached, aversion, everything built up and got connected here. Krishna says that, if you understand that, if you think that, and in that process I am suffering here, I am suffering. So, if you are suffering, Krishna says it is ajnanam. It is ajnanam. And due to that ajnanam,
all living entities, Krishna is saying, is in trouble. Is in trouble. Ajnanenavrutam jnanam. That ajnanam is covering my pure identity of knowledge. Pure identity is knowledge. Jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. It creates illusion in me. So, that is, so, therefore, tena muhyanti jantava. From ajnanam, jnanam is covered. That is the reason all living entities are under illusion. And everyone has to experience because of that the distress of this world. So, in reality, Krishna is saying, by logic in the last verse, Krishna puts it to us. Actually, this world itself is not real. Is not real. And what we are not convinced on that, that's a problem. But when we are convinced on that, if you are convinced that the world is not real, then you won't experience the miseries or the problems of this world anymore. So purely due to lack of knowledge or lack of that realization, Krishna saying this is happening. This is happening due to lack of that knowledge or lack of realization. You have to remember these are the last words from Krishna to Uddhava before leaving this world. Avidyamano avbhasade avbhasadeyo vaigarigo rajasa sargamesha brahma svayam jyotirato vibhadi brahmendriyarthatma vikara chitram avidyamano pyaubhasadeyo vaigarigo rajasa sargamesha brahma svayam jyotirato vibhadi brahmendriyarthatma vikara chitram. You will see this avidya, avidya, avidya often spoken, very often. Previously also, you will, I think it was in the, I don't know, it is probably in that second chapter, when Kavi Maharshi spoke about that, he also said the same thing. Look at the verse 38, 11-38. Avidyamano abhadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya sopnamano ratho yadham tal karma sangalpa vigalpagam mano budho nirindhyadhavayam tadasyal. Avidya. The avidya, how Krishna is saying, the nine yogis, they are also saying the same thing. Now Yogendra is first one, Kavi. Kavi is saying this, avidya. And Krishna is also saying there, avidyamanopi avabhasateyo. Krishna is saying, avidyamanopi avabhasateyo. Kavi Maharshi is saying, avidyamanopi avabhadihidvayo. Not much difference, one and the same thing. Avidyamano avbhasadeyo vaigarigo rajasa sargamesha brahma svayam jyotirato vibhadi brahmendriyarthatma vikara chitra. Avidyamanam avidyam avidyamanopi, even though this experience of this life, material life, in life in this world, even though it is avidya, avidya means it is not real, and it is experienced in ignorance. In ignorance it is. But even, and it is not real, but it is there. See that avidyamanopi it is bhasi bhasateyo, he says. Bhasate means for us it's there. From Krishna's position, it's not there. From Krishna's position, it's not there. In our position, due to avidya, it is there. And although it is false, it's there. That's what Krishna is saying. Although it's false, it's there for us. Isn't it? As though it's there. So, and therefore, even learned people, Krishna says, even learned people are knowledgeable about this, and they are suffering. Even learned people, he says, avabhasadeyo vaigarigo rajasa sargamesha brahma svayam jyotirato vibhadi brahmendriyarthatma vikara chitram. Then, so if it is like that, even learned people are suffering, although they know that it's not real. That's all many people are going through that state, isn't it? They know it's not real. We all know it's not real, because the fact that we all will go, leave everything and go one day. Then why are we
getting affected by it to that extent? That is the question here. So even learned people, they are not affected. They are affected by this material existence, isn't it? And then when you are getting affected like that, how can you say it's not real? That question will naturally come. And the capacity of the three modes of material nature is that what you have to understand at that time. It is the capacity, it is the power of that three modes of material nature able to make it real to us. It's the three modes of material nature who is capable of doing this to us. That she is able to make it to us as though it's real, even though it's not real. Even though it's not real. So just like you're showing different scenes or different photographs one after the other, similarly, this material modes of nature is able to present in front of us different names and forms and keep us connected with that different names and forms in one way or the other. And in that illusion we fall and we start thinking, oh, I have this relation, that relation, this is good for me, this is bad for me. Various kinds of conclusions we come, and in paramarthian states, in absolute platform, none of them is real. But temporarily, at that point in time, even learned people get victimized by that. Even though they know it's not real, when they are here, they are also going through the same difficulty like anybody else. Like anybody else, they also suffer and go through that. Very few, only in the self-realized state, this problem will go. There is no other way we can worry about, think about it. This problem will go. That is why all Krishna is saying, all this is, take the spiritual life, follow the spiritual life and get out of this problem once for all. There is no other way. If you try to plug the holes here and there, temporarily you may plug one hole, but another hole will open tomorrow. This is the sad thing. In material life, you will never be able to come to a permanent solution to the problem. Permanent solution is what Jadabharata said, what Krishna is saying, Jnanasi Nobhasanaya Shitena, that knowledge, take it on board and always keep it sharpened, that sword. You have to keep it sharpened all the time. Not that I heard one time in 50 years once and then I left it. That won't help. That won't come to the help when you need it. That is why they are saying like this, Jnanasin Upasanaya Shidena. Constant Upasana and constantly sharpening that sword to be used when you need it. It should come to your help when you need it. Is it not? Otherwise, what's the point? I heard something, but it didn't help me at the time when I need it. Then what's the point? That is why he's saying there, Jnanasin Upasanaya Shidena. So, here also, it is the three modes of material nature that makes us feel that it is real. It is real. Just like a picture, if you keep on showing different pictures, at that time, different namarupams appears in front of us, and in reality, none of them is real. They are all just pictures. Similarly, all these connections with the world in the form of different namarupams, what comes to us, is in that way. And people who are in knowledge, they get convinced on that, and therefore they are not disturbed. They are not disturbed. And therefore, whatever happens in this world, come what may, whatever happens here, they will be able to perceive that as false and they will accept it only in that way. They will only accept it in that way. Therefore, those people, Krishna says, those who are situated in this world, unaffected by the modes of nature, unaffected by the material existence, always sticking with the truth, what Krishna has spoken, always sticking to the truth and always established in the self. They will stick to the truth and they will be established in the self and they live in this world peacefully and leave this world. And that is a symptom of realized souls. That's what he said. Brahma Swayam Jyoti. Brahma Swayam Jyoti Rado Vibhadi. Brahmendriyat Atma Vikara Chitram. That's what that is saying. Brahma Swayam Jyoti Rado Vibhadi Brahmendriyartha Atma Vigara Chitram Avidyamano Abhasateyo Vaigarigo Rajasa Sargamesha Brahma Swayam Jyoti Rado Vibhadi Brahmendriyartha Atma Vigara Chitram Brahmendriyartha Atma Vigara Chitram. Vigara, it is Vigara Chitram, this is. What we are going through now is Vigara Chitram. Vigara Chitram means a painting that's been put in front of us and which is creating emotions in us in different forms. No connection with the self inside. Completely on the platform of the mind, the body, the intelligence, the senses, the ego, and all the other experiences. That is that Chitram, the picture that Krishna has thrown us here. So I think I'm a short break now. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagmin vavanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavatu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrada svadanam sarvatma subhanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahudanija sarva shakti tatrarpidani vidasmaranena kalam Edadrishitava kripa bhagavan mamami Durdeivami drishamihajani nanuragaham Tranarami shunichena Tranarami sahishnuna Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam najanam nasundayim Kavidamba jagadishakamai Namajanmani janmani shvari bhavadad bhaktirahari dugi tvai Ayinandadanujakingaram padidamam rishame bhavambudo Krupayatavapadamanga jasthidatoli sadrsham jindaya Nayanam kadashudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira Pulakayar nijidam kadavapu tavam namagrihane bhavishyadi Yugayidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda grahe nami Adaradam vinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva yathatadavam idadamulambara maltranamadhastunayemahaparam Avidyamanobhi Avidyamanobhi avabhasadeyo Vaikarigo Rajasa Sargamesham Brahma Swayam Jyotirato Vibhagi Brahmendriyarth Atma Vikara Chitram Atma Vikara Chitram So, Brahma Swayam Jyotirato Vibhagi Brahma has its own able to be established in that state that Swayam Jyotirato Vibhagi and Brahmendriyarth Atma Vikara Chitram. Brahmendriya Thalpa Vikara Chitram. So, in this state, able to realize Brahma, Brahma Tattvam, that Tattvam of Brahma, Brahma Tattvam, and that means through power of knowledge, through power of knowledge, through thoughts, and through analysis, inquiry. In this way, one should give up this reality of this world and able to remain in his state as Swarupam, in his own Swarupam. That is what he is saying there, that evam spudam brahma viveka hedubhi parabhavadena visharadena chit alma sandeha uparameda swananda tushto agila kamukebhya Evam spudam brahma viveka hetupi. So this knowledge Krishna has spoken, brahma viveka hetu. Spudam brahma viveka hetupi parabhavadena visharadena. So through power of knowledge and through power of thinking, ability to analyze things properly, in the way Krishna has spoken, and in that process able to accept the mithya, or the falsity of this creation, and able to remain in his own identity as the self, he will not be affected by the material existence. That's what he's saying there. Parabhavadena visharadena. See guys? Parabhavadena visharadena. For some reason, Krishna says, due to some kalpana. Kalpana it is. Kalpana vishesham. Kalpana vishesham means that in your imagination, something in his imagination is causing this reality in us. And so world, we feel it as real due to some reason. We don't know why that, what that is. It is only due to the way our mind is framed, how the mind is operating. So that has to be rejected. And if you are able to do that, then you won't get disturbed by the world. You won't get disturbed by the world. That is why I say, Chitu Alma Sandeham Upara Meta Swananda Tushtokila Kamugepya. Alma Sandeham Upara Meta Kamukya Swananda Tushto Akila Kamugepyam. So, freeing oneself from all the desires and all from these experiences, and able to remain in his one's own existence, where there is no Veda Buddhi, where is no Vedam in that state. And Mahalmas, who are in knowledge and realization, they live in that state, and we can also experience that state. Krishna is saying anybody can experience that state, but it requires this cultivation of knowledge and everything what Krishna has spoken till now, from beginning, from Parasvabhava Karmani onwards up to this. Krishna says it will evam spudam brahma viveka hetubi parabhavadena visharadena. Parabhavadena visharadena. This parabhavadena visharadena means that due to somewhere in our analysis in life, somewhere something has gone wrong. That is why we are feeling, Krishna says that you are feeling this world as real and you are affected by the world. It should not happen. That's point he is making there. So, again, Krishna is stressing that point that evam spudam brahma viveka hedubi parabhavadena visharadena chitu alma sandeham uparameta. Somehow or the other, we have to come out of this a doubt about the soul and the reality of the soul and our identity as the soul. We have doubts about all these things. Krishna says, Chitva Atma Sandeham Uparameta and Swananda Tushto Akhila Kamugebhyam. That you have to get it back, what you have lost. A huge thing you have lost, we have lost ourselves. That's what has happened. That's what Krishna is saying here. You have lost yourself, get it back, what you have lost. That's what he is pointing out here. So, in the next verse you will see, Atma Vabu Parthim Indriyani Devahya Surva Ayujalam Hutasha Manavanna Matram Dishananja Sattvam Aham Kridi Kham Kridi Arthasamyam. Alma Vabu Parthivam Indriyani Deva Asurva Ayujalam Hutasha Manavanna Matram Dishananja Sattvam Aham Kridi Kham Kridi Arthasamyam. So, Krishna is saying that Alma Vabu Parthivam Indriyani, that Alma and analma, alma and body, soul and the body, I mean, or self and the non-self, analyze it yourself. At that time you know that body is not the soul and soul is not the body. First thing, body is not the soul and soul is not the body. And this, he says, Deva Indri Parthivam Indriyani Deva Asur Vayu Jalam Hutasha. The five material elements have come together, and a combination of that is this material body. And the senses are all material, and that also cannot be the self. Deva means the predominating deities of the different senses. Starting with the sun. Sun is a predominating deity of the eye. In that way, fire, all of them are predominant. They also cannot be the soul. Then he says that Asur Vayu Jalam Hutasha. Similarly, prana cannot be the soul. Vayu or Agni, or that means air or fire or water, none of the material elements, they cannot be the soul. And mind, Krishna is saying, they are annamatram. Mind has come from the food. So that is also cannot be the soul. And we can see, if you stop eating the food, then mind continuously loses its strength. The more we eat, and we have the strength of the mind is completely dependent on the food what you consume. More and more if you eat food, then mind will become very powerful. Mind will become very powerful. And he says here, manavanya matram, dishanamcha sattvam. Dishanamcha sattvam. Sattva, when it is expanded, it is that expansion of the sattvagunam is buddhi. Intelligence is expansion of the sattvagunam. Then ahamkriti kam. Ahangaram or false ego, ahankriti kam, is like the sky, present everywhere. Present everywhere. So what all Krishna is saying there is, try to differentiate between the self and the body, alma and the body. Alma is independent of all these things. Whereas Parthiva Indriyani Deva Hasurvayu Jalam Hutasham Manonya Matram Dishananga Satvam Aham Kadikham Shiti Arthasamyam. So in this way, an Alma Vastu, what is not self, non-self, one has to learn how to separate them. How to separate them from the self, from the package now. Like, it is all together now, isn't it? The body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything alpa, everything together. How to break them up? That's what Krishna pointing out there. How to break them up? Thinking in this way. Which way? Mind is coming. How mind is born? Because of the food. It grows, it develops, therefore mind is not alma. Intelligence is depending on the sattvagunam in a person, intelligence will change. Intelligence will change. That intelligence is dependent on the sattvagunam in a person. Sattvagunam in a person. Ahangaram is like kham, he says. Kham. Kham means space. You know in Shastram, when we say sukham, dukham, both are kham, have you noticed? Kham means, sukham means, what is sukham means? How would you explain? Sukham means, kham means space. That means if you are in a good atmosphere, not material atmosphere, consciousness wise, if you are in a good atmosphere, it is sukham. Sukham. If you are experiencing misery and you are depressed and if you are in an unhappy state, it is bad atmosphere. Dukham. So, sukham and dukham is kham. And that depends on ahangaram inside. That's what he's saying here. Ahamkriti kham. Ahamkriti ahangaram is also kham. It's another kind of kham. Then, vastu shunyam akasham. That space which is the vastu inside, but ahangaram is like that. It's vastu shunyam. It does not have any form. Doesn't have any form. Ahangaram has any form. Like modes of nature, it has no form. Isn't it? Happiness has no form. Bliss has no form. None of this has any form. But it's there. Similarly. So similarly, Krishna is saying here, ahangaram also has no form like space. It is no form, but it's there. But it's no form. It's there. So that's what he's saying here. Krishna is saying, analyze all these things individually and see that none of them is Alma. None of them is Alma. Ahangaram is like space, it has no form, and like space it is present in everybody in different degrees. And it is every time, as he explained it before, when the gross body, mind, intelligence, everything comes into contact with the Alma, this thing called Ahangaram takes birth there. Ahangaram takes birth there. So, none of them is real. Mind is not real, Ahangaram is not real, intelligence is not real. What to talk about five material elements? They are also not real because they are also not the self. They are different from the self. They cannot be the self because they have all come from one from the other. And Atma didn't come from anybody. Atma is always there. It does not come from anyone. It's there. That's all what is left. That is why in the Jnana Margam when they say not this, not this, not this, when they are rejecting, this is what they are rejecting. Not the mind, not the intelligence, not the angaram, not the senses, not the material elements, none of them. So many, many lifetimes we have to keep on rejecting, rejecting. And he is saying here that the senses are not there because body is concerned, it's easy to understand, because why material elements have come and joined together, and they are material, and they cannot be the soul. And similarly, the predominating deities of the senses, they cannot be the soul. And pranam, the force of action in us, that also cannot be the soul. Because they are all present in the body, as Krishna mentioned before, that when in the presence of Atma, remember when we talked about Jiva, when Jiva took birth, Dehendri, in the 16th verse, Dehendriya pranamano bhimanam jivondar alma gunakarma murti sutram mahanit urudeva gita samsara mathavadi kala tantraha. How we were born, how Jiva was born. Jiva was born because deham, indriyam, pranam, manas, ahankaram. All these things, when they got together in the association of Antaryami, Jiva was born. Says it, deham, body, indriyam, senses, pranam, manas, and abhimanam, manas, ahankaram. All of them together came into contact with Antaralma or Antaryami. When it came into contact with Antaryami, Jiva was born. Jiva, Antaralma, and what is Jiva? What is the body of Jiva? Guna, Karma, Murti. Gunam and Karma. Three modes of material nature, and Karmam is the body of Jiva. It's the body of Jiva. Guna, Karma, Murti. And Sutram Mahanit Yurudheva Gita Samsara Madhavadi Kalatandram. Then also which is called as Sutralma, somebody, some people call it as Mahatattvam. What it is, it's all happening, and this Jiva's life is dependent on Kala, time, Kala Tantram. Under the influence of time, he keeps on changing. Who? Jiva. Jiva keeps on changing. So you can't say Jiva is same as Atma. Atma is different. Atma does not go through changes. Atma is the one who doesn't change. Whereas Jiva is subject to change. Subject to change. So that is this he is saying here. So all these things, when we are able to separate them out, to bring them separately, all these elements, and once we know like that, Krishna is saying there that that person, that he realizes that the bhokta, one who knows all these things, he knows that he is Atma. He is none of these other things, what is mentioned there. And he also knows that he has no connection with that. He has no connection with that. Krishna is saying, what is the difficulty in knowing this? Krishna is asking that. What's the difficulty? He is saying here. Because you are not doing that, this breaking up. You're not doing that, therefore this realization is not happening. That's a fact, isn't it? Because we don't do it. We don't break them up. We have somehow, we have in our own understanding somewhere, whatever it is, we are seeing all these things together. We are not breaking it up separately as senses, mind, intelligence, pranam, or the material elements, mind. Break them up all, Krishna says, and see where they have come from. What connection has it got with the self? Nothing. Self is totally independent. And if you have succeeded in doing that properly through the process of Shastram, and if you analyze it properly and convinced yourself that it is not so, and you are able to accept it, then you have come out of the problem, he's saying like that. Because you are not doing that, therefore you are not able to come out of it. You are stuck in that. He's saying here. And then, samahidaika karaneer gunalpabhir gunobhavayalmal suvivektadhanna vikshipyavanai udakimnu dhoshanam khaneirubedir vigadeiravekim samahidaika karaneer gunalpabhir and gunobhavayalmal suvivektadhanna vikshipyavanai udakimnu dhoshanam khaneirubedir vigadeiravekim. He's saying here, suppose this, all of these things, which one? The body, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the ego, they are, suppose you have managed, they are all under the modes of nature. Is it not? They are all under the modes of nature. Therefore, they are called gunamayam. Gunamayam. Gunamayam means three modes of nature is present in all this. In the body, they are present. The three modes of nature. How? Vatam, pittam, kapham. There are three modes of material nature present in the body. Vatam, pittam, kapham. They are present in the mind, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, and in the buddhi also. So, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, the three modes are present in the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everywhere. Suppose you have succeeded to bring them all and convince yourself that these all different broken up things, because of their presence and it is their activities and their experiences is what we call as material existence, samsaram or material misery. When we call it as material misery, it is that, this experience what we are having there. So, and the cause of all this problem is that all these experiences is behind that the amount of modes of nature that is lying in each of these different aspects. For example, in sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamagunam, they are present in the mind to a large extent. It's present in the intelligence. It's present in our senses. Present in our body as well. So, what is deposited in all these things, in these modes of nature who are present like that, that suppose by bringing these modes of nature, if you are able to free yourself from that, then all these different things will also come under control. That's what Krishna is saying. That if the modes of nature, if you have managed to control, then the mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything will also come under control and there won't be any more. That is what that samahita word Krishna is using there. Samahidaika karaneer gunalpamir gunobhavenmalsu viviktadhamnam vikshipyamanai udakimna doshanam khaneirubedir vigadai revekim vigadai revekim. Then yadhanabhovayun lambavu guneer gadagadir vartu guneer na sajjade tathaksharam satturajastamo omale ahamvade samsruti hedubhi param. Clouds are coming. They come and they go in the space, in the sky, isn't it? But because clouds are coming and going, that does not affect the sky. It doesn't affect the space, isn't it? Akasha means space. So, even though that lot of dust comes, or lot of clouds comes, many, many things are happening in the space, but space is not affected by that. And they come and go. Similarly, although three modes of material nature is coming, thought waves are coming, mind is coming, intelligence is coming, ego is coming, senses are acting, even though all these things are happening, Krishna is saying, like the space is not affected by the dust or by the clouds, Alpa inside is also not affected by any of these. That's an important principle. Yatha napo vayu, vayu analambu bhrugunair
അനലാമഭൂഗുണേർ ഗതാഗതേർ വർത്തുഗുണേർ ന സജ്ജതേ തഥാക്ഷരം സത്വരജസ്തമോമലേ അഹമ്മദേ സംസ്കൃതി ഹേതുഭീ പരം. They do not affect us. The real self is not affected by any of these things, either by mind or by intelligence, which is all with modes of nature. With modes of nature. So that is what the important thing he says here. That similarly, like the clouds come in the sky and they go. It doesn't bother the space. Space remains as it is. Similarly, Atma, which is eternal, which is pure, which is fully conscious, and it's always liberated. Atma is always liberated. He is not affected by any of these things, what goes on in this world. He passes through this world untouched by any of these things. That's the main thing. This point you will see often spoken again and again to show the transcendental nature of Atma. Atma is never touched by any of these things. So, but only for those who have realized it. Once you have not realized it, you will suffer. Is it not? So, you won't know that. And those people who do not accept that or do not realize it, Krishna is calling them as Mudha in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam. Jnanis or realized souls, they know about that. They know about that. So, as far as they are concerned, in this world, in the way we are now, if senses are getting agitated, let it get agitated. Mind is getting agitated. Mind may get agitated. Karma, you may do or you may not do it in this world. But none of those things has any impact on the self. Any impact on the self. So, like the clouds in the sky, and also the dust in the sky, whatever it may come from all four directions, whether they come or not, it does not have any effect on the sky. It does not have any effect on the sky, and sky is always remain aloof from everything. So, in spite of all the things what's happening in the sky, the clouds, the thunder, the lightning, the dust, and any kind of things, things that goes on in the sky, sky remains a sky, untouched by any of these things. So, no matter what happens, sky has no contact with any of those things. It doesn't come to contact with that. And sky is never take up any of those qualities of any of those things what's happening. Sky doesn't get dusty, nor the, because dust falls away later. Similarly, other activities also, like the clouds, thunder, lightning, all of them, eventually they go away, sky remains. Sky remains. So, similarly, Atma also, whatever may happen, it is not touched by any of them. Body does not have create any mark on the self, on the Atma. He does not join anybody, and no thought waves in the mind has any effect on the Atma. It is all in the mind only. It has no effect on the Atma. No, one who has known in this way, he will not be affected by his ego or by his thought waves or by his karma. None of them will have any effect on him. That's the one important thing. He said, that means upadhi, they are all upadhi, isn't it? Body is a upadhi. Mind is upadhi, intelligence is upadhi, ahankaram is upadhi, senses are upadhi. Upadhi dharmam will not have any effect on Atma. These are all upadhi dharmam. For example, mind gets upset, angry, happiness, distress. Ahankaram has its own way of experiencing the world. And mind, intelligence has another way, experiences things. Senses experiences the world in another way. They are all upadhi dharmam. Upadhi dharmam has no connection with the Atma. It is upadhi's dharmam it is, not the dharmam of Atma. Atma can never be touched by any of these things. So that is even karmam. Karmam also cannot touch Atma. Karmam, even if a jnani does a lot of karmam, it won't affect him. Because vasanas also don't affect him. Nothing can affect jnani. Because, but only thing is, you require that wealth of knowledge before, jnana sambhati. Once you have that knowledge, only then this will not happen. If the realization is there that he is in the platform of the soul, then it won't. Only then it will not happen. They give this example that before you cut the jackfruit, you have to put the oil in the hand. In that case, that sticky thing won't touch the hand, isn't it? Similarly, if there is proper knowledge inside, then none of these problems of the mind, body, intelligence and all will not affect the person, will not affect the person. So, and one is expected, Krishna says, to remain in the platform of the self all the time. Not for few minutes, all the time. And then he will not be bound in this world. There will not be any bondage for him. And material existence won't be there for him in his eyes. But that knowledge must have, has to be there for that. Jnana sampatti, Krishna says. Yathana bhovai analambhubo analambhubo guner gadagader vartuguner na sajjate tathaksharam sattvirajastamo malai ahammade samsrithi hedubhi param ahammade samsrithi hedubhi param. Again Krishna is explaining that soul is transcendental. Soul can never be touched by anything to come back to the platform of the soul. Tathabhisanga parivarjaniyo guneshu maya rajdeshu tavan mad bhakti yogena dridena yavan rajo nirasyeda manakashayam. Tathabhisanga parivarjaniyo guneshu maya rajdeshu tavan mad bhakti yogena dridena yavan rajo nirasyeda manakashayam. So, next words he says, because Krishna has said, oh, now, the problem is that after we read all these verses, we are saying that, oh, soul is not touched by any of these things, so I can do what I like then, isn't it? People will think like that. People think like that. Often people ask this question, soul is not touched, so what does it matter? Whatever I do, what does it matter? Soul is not touched. People will abuse that. They will abuse it in that way. And that's what Krishna is warning there. That's not acceptable. For the reason is, he says there, a realized person, for him, no matter what he does, he won't be in bondage. He will not get bound. But if you are not realized yourself and only use it as an excuse to do what you want, then you will be bound. Using this knowledge of the self, that self is not bound by anything, we can't go and do anything we like, because then what will happen is we will be in trouble. We will create vasana, we will create karma, and we will be in bondage. That is a danger. So therefore that's not allowed. Only one who has realized the self, he can act in this world. And if he acts, no matter what he does, nothing will bind him. Nothing will bind him. So he won't cause any bondage. And because under no circumstances he comes into contact with any of these things. And but knowing that by doing under no circumstances myself, Andaryam, is not going to come into contact with any of this the world, and if I act in my own whims, then you will degrade yourself, you will fall. That's what the warning there. You will fall. That's the warning. Because you have Krishna, you may say that, oh, Krishna has said that under no circumstances the Atma has any contact with the matter, with the world. Atma has no contact with the mind, no contact with intelligence and senses and the body and the world. And you can misuse that also. You can abuse it, isn't it? Using that pretext, you can go and do things what you like. Krishna is saying if you do like that, it won't be the same. What will happen is that if you start doing things without proper realization of the self, that before doing anything, you have to come out of all these different things, mind, body, intelligence, senses, everything. If you are freed from that, then you can do it. Before that, if you do it, just because you heard Krishna saying like this,
then what will happen is, he says, you will get connected, you will be bound in this world, and in that process you will degrade yourself. You will degrade yourself, and he says, you don't have to have any doubt about it. You don't have to have any doubt about it. And that is what he is saying in that 27th verse. He is saying that, he says that, adhabi sangha parivarjaniyo guno guneshu maya rajadeshu tavad mal bhakti yogena dridena yavad rajo nirasyeda mana kashaya rajo nirasyeda mana kashaya. In even after you have realized the self, that even after you have realized the self, you have to be careful, Krishna is saying, not to come back into contact with the world again. Because once contact comes, he is saying, Sangam will develop. Sangam. When Sangam parivarjaniyam, tathapi Sangam parivarjaniyam. Parivarjaniyam means one should not develop again Sangam. It should be avoided. It should be avoided. After this, under no circumstances, he should not become, develop any Sangam towards anything in this world. Towards anything in this world. Remember that. Krishna told Uddhava in the beginning itself, what did he say? Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu mayaveshya mana samyak samadrak vicharasvagam. That's how he started the instruction. Again, same thing he's saying here. Always you should remain aloof, separate from that. Never to have any sangam towards anybody or anything. Because everything what we have here in this world is Maya's vritti. And Maya vritti means, Maya's vritti that is, that means it's nothing but an expanded form of the three modes of material nature. All the people whom you meet, all the world around us, the products, everything is nothing but an expansion of the three modes of material nature. Three modes of the material nature. So everything what you are seeing here, what you are coming into contact with, you have to be always conscious that they are nothing but an expanded form of the modes of nature. So, and suppose without your knowledge, you have gone and got involved and caught up in that, got caught up in that, and you will get caught up in that. And the only escape route is what Krishna is saying there. Mal bhakti yogena dridena yavad rajo nirasyedha mana kashaya. Mal bhakti yogena dridena yavad rajo manasi nirasyedha mana kashaya. First thing is not to develop sangam. But suppose it so happened that due to some prarabdham, somehow we got caught up in some of these connections in this world, in relationships. And you will, because maya vritti is different vikasam, that is. That means the three modes of nature, expanded form is everyone whom we meet in this world and all the products of this world. And you will get caught up in that process. And it, when it, if you get caught up in that, then the answer for that is, well, bhakti yogena dridena yavat rajo nirasyeta mana kashaya. That completely surrendering to Krishna and taking Krishna's shelter, you should free yourself from that by getting attached to Krishna. By getting attached to Krishna. That means you have to have that kind of pure bhakti in the heart to get attached to Krishna and able to free yourself from the other places where we have cultivated or developed attachment. So, the moment if you start seeing that all other objects or people in this world, that, I know them, they are known to me. And if you start dealing with them, it comes to another platform called Drikka Drishyam. You become the Drishyam, they become the Drik. And why did that Drishyam happen? Due to the movement of the mind. Sometimes this state, what Krishna is talking about, is a very higher realization state. very high realized state. So he's saying here that dridrishyam will come because of the movement. So this movement that happens in the mind and dridrishya bhavam, whenever that happens, we are all in that dridrishyam state, isn't it? I am me and you, everything, in everywhere. That's how we are living in this world, me and you. And we are expecting perfection in this, all relationships. That will not happen. Krishna is saying there is that drikadrishya bhavam is there. And this drikadrishya bhavam has come because there was some change happened in the mind from the state of pure knowledge of the self. It has been disturbed inside. Therefore drikadrishya bhavam has come. So whenever if you are caught up in that, first thing he is saying, well, bhakti yogena dridena yavat. Bhakti is the solution for that problem. If you are stuck somewhere in life where attachment is too strong and you know it is not good, that it's going to bring more damage and distress later, and if you are finding it difficult to free yourself from that, Krishna is saying the answer for that is mal bhakti yogena dridena yavat. Take to Krishna consciousness so seriously and surrender to Krishna and take Krishna shelter, and Krishna will loosen it up for you. He will loosen up that attachment. This attachment is a very subtle thing, and subtle but it is strong. That's the problem with this attachment. It is so subtle but it is very strong as well. And breaking up is not easy. Breaking up is not easy. And we know that it is the cause of all the problems as well. So he's saying, mal bhakti yogena dridena yavat rajo nirasyeda manakashaya. That there is no only possibility is that if you take into complete sharanagati. That is why we say jnanam without bhakti will not run very long. After a while jnanam will collapse. Because bhakti was not there, therefore you get victimized by the world. You get victimized by the world. Many people, that is a problem. They do everything else properly and they realize the self. But because bhakti wasn't there, this is where bhakti supports jnanam. Jnanam without the support of bhakti will not stay. Even great, great Advaitis who have gone very high on the spiritual life, they have confirmed this, and that is why they remain in the path of bhakti. They will never give up bhakti. Bhakti is necessary because spiritual life is not in our hands. You may work very hard, but if Krishna's grace is not there, it is not going to be successful. Therefore, bhakti must continue all the time. When we say bhakti, what it means is that surrendered state of mind. All the time in a surrendered state and of cultivating knowledge in that way. Complete surrender to Krishna and accepting whatever Krishna is giving to us in this life without any complaint. That is surrender, isn't it? Sharanagati means that not complaining anymore about Krishna. If you are complaining about Krishna, there is no sharanagati, it means. So without complaining, which proper sharanagati, which is bhakti. Actually sharanagati is bhakti. Not all the rituals what we do. That is a different thing. Sharanagati is bhakti. So that is what Krishna is saying. Mad bhakti yogena dridena yavat. That should be very firm, that sharanagati. That no matter what happens, Krishna is one who is controlling the life. Krishna is the one who is deciding what is good for me. To that extent, we have to accept Krishna's decision without questioning. To such a way, if you are surrendered and then cultivate the knowledge what Krishna has spoken, Krishna says that you can get free yourself from that. You will always notice this. Everything Krishna will say, finally bring it down and tie it down to bhakti. You will see throughout Ekadasha Skandam this. So many things Krishna has spoken, and eventually he will bring it down finally and tie it down to bhakti. It is necessary because without bhakti, jnanam is also won't get strength. Jnanam won't work effectively because you need that jnanam when you are in distress, when you are in trouble. Only if the jnanam is there, you will properly analyze the situation. Otherwise you will go and do something without proper thinking about it and commit bigger blunders than what is already something gone wrong. And you may go and do something worse afterwards. That is where jnanam has to help. The knowledge of the self has to help.
But that knowledge will become only useful if it is properly supported with bhakti. That's what he says there.
Tathabi sangha parivarjaniyo guneshu maya rajiteshu tavat mal bhakti yogena drudena yavat rajo nirasyeda manakashaya.
Well, bhakti is necessary, he's saying here. So, that and till that point when we have that state where we are able to free ourselves from the grip of the body, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, and also all our connections with the world, and able to get established within ourselves in the self, even if you come to that, Krishna says bhakti is necessary at that point. So, next verse.
Yathamayo asadu chigilsito mrunam puna puna samtudadi prarohan evam manopakva kashaya karmam kuyoginam vidyati sarvasangam. Yathamayo asadu chigilsito mrunam puna puna samtudadi prarohan evam manopakva kashaya karmam kuyoginam vidyati sarvasangam.
So, for example, we say in there that, say, one person has got sick, he got some illness. Then, normally, it has to be treated and got cured. Suppose that person, instead of taking the medicine properly, what's been prescribed, now and then, when he likes it, he takes some medicine. We all do that. It's not that. Because the disease is there. The doctor has said, given you some medicines. And you are supposed to take it on a prescribed way, isn't it? But what sometimes we do is what medicine? It's all right, it will go. And then suddenly, you feel a little worse with the problem, then you go and take some medicine. Krishna is saying like that. And you should not do like that, he says. You shouldn't be like that in spiritual life. Oh, it won't happen to me. If I'm very... it won't affect me after all. If you start making your own decision like that, that's not good. That's what he's saying there.
That yathamayo asadu chigilsito nanam puna puna samdhadi prarohan.
As and when you feel like you will do something in spiritual life, and when you're not feeling, when you're feeling okay, you say, oh, leave it now. For the moment, I'm okay. I don't need any spiritual life. Later on, when I'm a little bit feeling down, I'll take the spiritual life in this way. So, such a person, say Krishna is saying, if you stay like that, what will happen is, his illness will increase, and ultimately, he won't be able to do anything. Won't be able to do anything. He's telling us that you should not be like a careless person who takes the medicine as and when he wants. Spiritual life is not like that. He's saying that you have to take it seriously. When you have a disease, you have to treat the disease and get it cured. That's the answer. And till the disease is gone, the treatment has to continue. Spiritual life is like that. That's the point. When we have to first acknowledge that there is a disease. Disease is material existence. Getting affected by the miseries of this world and suffering from that. And Krishna has spoken the process, why it is happening, how it can be taken out, and the process he has spoken about it. So he says, don't take it like this lazy patients who doesn't care, take one tablet once when he feels like. Often people do that, isn't it? We all do that. Many people do that. So very rarely people say, although in the modern medical system, they try to help you many ways to keep the timings and what you have to take. They have developed a certain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday like that. In spite of all that, we don't take seriously. We just think it's all right, what is there. And when again disease gets a little worse, we'll go and take some tablets then. That kind of approach in spiritual life is not right. That's what Krishna is pointing out. Krishna is saying to us, the disease what we have got now is more serious than any other disease. And the cure he has spoken and the importance of curing that disease completely. Till the disease is cured, Krishna says you have to continue taking this medicine. Jnana sinopasanaya shitena and otherwise this will not go. The disease won't get cured. He says it will get worse later. So, just like, suppose you got a disease and doctor has said that this medicine you should take for so many days, and we are doing it for, say, antibiotics or 6 days or 7 days, whatever it is, isn't it? So, and also during the time, according to the instructions, you follow certain restrictions on your diet, on your recreation and all other things in relationship with the body. Similarly, this bondage in the material world is also a disease. And till it completely goes away from inside, we have to take the medicine. That medicine what Krishna has said. And otherwise, it will come back again. He says there, evam mano apakvam kashaya karmam kuyoginam vidyadi sarvasangam. See that? Yathamayo sadhu chikilsito onranam punam punasam dudadi prarohan evam mano apakva kashaya karmam kuyoginam vidyadi sarvasangam. It will come back again. He says that disease will again come back. Disease will again come back. That is what that word. Apakva kashaya karmam. See that? Apakva kashaya karmam means mind which is apakvam. Mind which is apakvam will be in the form of kashayam. Remember these three things we mentioned? Mind is always in three states, is it not? Sometimes it is in layam, sleep. Sometimes it is in vigalpam, thought waves. And sometimes it is in kashayam. Kashayam state. Kashayam state means that's a state when you are, due to the thoughts, it has its effect on you in the mind. And he says that you will feel depressed, distressed in life. All these things have happened in my life. What am I supposed to do in this way? Why? Because a lot of thoughts have come through the mind. That is a kashayam state. Mind can only remain in one of these three states. Either vigalpam. Vigalpam means you are thinking about something. Or say for example, when you are now listening, this is vigalpam it is. That you are listening and taking something inside, whatever that's coming. And if I'm saying something which you are not able to take inside, what will happen? The mind will go to sleep. That's when we start sleeping. When we start sleeping at that time, we get good sleep then. That we all the time say we are talking about Brahman, Maya, Karmam, Jiva, Prakriti, material nature, all these things. We are just listening, and then because of the mind, the word itself, mind, if you look, you will see. Mind's job is mayam. Mayam means to measure. It measures everything. All the time mind is measuring. Say I've said something, you will measure. Is it worthwhile listening? Inside it is going on in a subtle level. So after some time you think, oh, it's all so many things Krishna is saying. What I got to do with it? He will create this thought inside. Once that thought has come, then mind will say, let me go to sleep. That's the best thing to do. And you go to sleep. So that is mind one state, which is called a layam. Layam means it dissolves. The other state is all the time you are sitting and thinking. Thought waves coming. So many thoughts coming from all sides. All kinds of things you are thinking about it. That's called vigalpam. Vigalpam state. When you are neither of these two, there's a third state which is called kashayam state. Then that's what Krishna is saying. Evam manam apakva kashaya karmam kuyoginam vidyadi sarvasangam. Then apakva stage, that means the mind is not come under control. Therefore, the mind will always be very depressed and distressed about everything what has happened. And you will feel in a very, down. You feel very down, isn't it? And 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 when that happens, what will be the result of that? He says, Kashaya karma kuyoginam vidyadi sarvasangam. That means all the karma vasana, they will turn into karma vasana. Which one? These thoughts that has come inside, which has caused the distress inside, they will eventually develop into karma vasana. So, and if you remain in that way, you will never be able to come out of this material life, material existence. That is what Krishna is pointing out there. That therefore, very well, one has to treat one's own mind. One's own mind one has to treat, and always one should keep it in a peaceful state and pure, and also fill it with satugunam. Such a person alone can come out of the grip of material life. And never, after leaving the material life and freeing oneself from the material existence, he has to always take care not to go and join something again and to pollute the mind again. And therefore, he has to always keep a distance and look at the mind himself. And such a person, samsaram, material existence won't touch him. And never again, such a person, material existence, samsaram, will give him a lot of trouble. Won't give him any much trouble. And also, in a highly advanced state, even birth and death will not cause any problem for him. He's saying here. But one has to reach that state. So, up to that time, the treatment has to continue. And you shouldn't do something here and there and thinking that, oh, nothing will affect me. and I'm gone above all those things. And if I start thinking like that, nothing will happen. But you have to reach that state. Only after that, the treatment should stop. Up to that time, the treatment has to continue. That's what Krishna is saying here. Kuyogino ye vihidandaraye manushya bhuta istri desho apasrishtai te pratana abhyasa valena bhuyo yunjandi yogam nadu karma tandram. Next verse. Kuyogino ye vihidandaraye manushya bhuta istri desho apasrishtai te pratana abhyasa valena bhuyo yunjandi yogam nadu karma tandram. Krishna is saying here, kuyogi means that even one who is in that path, he will have obstacles sometimes. Obstacles are called andaraya. Andaraya means obstacles. And that obstacles can come from different ways. Sometimes that obstacles can be created by others, other members whom we are in contact with, family members, society, friends. They all can come and create obstacles in your spiritual progress. Krishna is saying that. Kuyogino ye vihidambaraye manushya bodhai stri deshova srishtai. It can come from various sources, isn't it? So, either it's created by human beings, which includes all, friends, relations, society, all of them. Sometimes obstacles can come from the devatas, demigods. Sometimes through sense objects. Sometimes due to our own karma. Which one is causing the problem? Very difficult to understand. Sometimes due to prarabdham, it can come and stop you. Sometimes other people, due to some reason, they can cause problems. Sometimes devadas can cause problems. They can all create what is called andaraya. Krishna uses the word andaraya. Kuyoginoye vihid andaraya manushya bhude tri deshoba srishtai. All of them can create this problem. And it is no problem. Many ways it can happen. And it is no point in analyzing it. Why? Who has done it? Why it has happened? Because suppose andaraya has come. Andaraya means a block, an obstacle has come, and then it has become a problem. In that situation, you can never become perfect. So, And in such a situation, in whole life you had problems. Imagine that. Some people are put into that situation, somehow or the other, some problems in life constantly coming, one thing after the other. Either family, friends, from the human society, or sometimes from the higher living entities. For some reason, whatever it may be, we don't know what it is. Sometimes your own body giving you problems, and you are finding it difficult to go further in spiritual path. And in the middle of that, you left the body. You left this world and you have gone. So Krishna is saying here, even in that situation, if you leave the body, and of course, in reality, that should not happen. That Krishna says there. Should avoid not that to happen. That's the best thing. But even in that situation, if we have to leave the body with all the problems that has come on our way, he's saying there, te prakta abhyasa balena bhuyal yunjandi yogam nadu karma tandram. One important instruction is there. He's saying there, so in that situation, if it happens, again you will take birth, you will come here. But again you will get that taste inside for the yoga process you have executed while living in this body. On the strength of that, you will continue doing that again and you will get liberated in the next life or life after. So the only thing Krishna says there is that ideally it's not the right thing. Ideally right now here, to take it seriously and free yourself in this life itself. But due to prarabdham, which can come in different forms, or due to our interaction with the world, in different ways it can come as an obstacle. Or sometimes body can give you problems, which may be due to some relationship with the devadas who control our body. And so from various sources, these obstacles can come and block our progress in the spiritual path. That you can see the prarabdham, how it comes and disturbs the life to such extent that you can't do what you want to do. You know that it is not the right thing, but you are unable to do it. Either the mind is not allowing or the surroundings or situations are not favorable, something happens and you are unable to fight through that situation. So when that happens, Krishna is saying, it's not the ideal situation, but never worry about it. You may leave the body, but you will come back. But when you come back, that vasana, what has been created in this life, will stay back there and it will take you further in the next life to continue doing it again and go after one or two lifetimes later. So here, that is what he's saying here. So they will take birth again and according to their strength in that life, they will execute the yoga processes, whatever capacity, and they will get released. In other words, from the karma bandham, that shows that the karma or the bondage due to the karma is not over. So, in essence, what Krishna is saying here is that knowledge of the self is very pure. Remember that. Brahma Vidya, Sarva Vidya, Pratishtam. All other knowledge is darkness. Everything else in this, even in the Vedam, they own. For example, we have Dhanurvidya, Ayurvedam, Jyotisham, and many other things spoken also in the Vedam. But none of them is perfect like the Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the self. So only if you have some knowledge of the self inside, for some time at least, that it is possible to do all these things. Suppose you have no knowledge of the self, how can you progress in the spiritual path? That's what Krishna is asking. If there is no knowledge of the self, only in that case you can reflect on all these things by analyzing the body, analyzing the mind, and able to come out of the body and the mind and able to get established in the self. Otherwise it's not possible, isn't it? So it is such an important thing Krishna is saying, Keep on cultivating the knowledge of the self, because if there is the knowledge of the self, you will never come out of the body, you will never come out of the mind, you will never come out of the senses, and you will exist here in the same body, mind and the senses. And then, because of that, you will continue to engage in karma and you will always be in the field of karma. You will never withdraw from that. So, Atma's glory, he is saying there, the glory of Atma is that it brings an end to material existence. But due to prarabdham and due to our interaction with the world, even if you are drawn into it, if there is knowledge on the self, there is a possibility, Krishna says, you will escape. But if there is no knowledge of the self, there is no possibility of escaping from this world, come back, suffer, that's the only answer to that. That's the way Krishna puts it here. He says, Kuyo vinoye vihidandat ayam, manushya bodhetra dashoba srishte, te praktam, abhyasa balena bhuyol, yunjandi yogam, yunjandi yogam. That's a yogam, not matu karma tantram. Karma tantram is this, that by working and through the process of karma, you will come out of it. No, you will never come out. Krishna is firmly saying that. Not to karmantra. Karmantra means to engage in karma and through thinking that work hard and I will come out of these problems. You will never come out of the problems. That's what he is warning there. Not to karmantra, he is saying. Yunjandi yogam. Yogam can continue. Not to karmantra. Karmantra is not the answer. So, here, you can understand from this Krishna's greatness, isn't it? Krishna's glory. How glorifying it is. Imagine that. That Krishna is saying that if you have accepted this principle, yourself as Atma instead of the body, that alone that is takes you to a higher level. Moment you have accepted that inside, to some degree, may not be 100%, to some degree, if you have accepted that your identity as Atma, you have come a long way in spiritual life, to a large extent. And in that process, because once you have accepted Atma, what's happening then? You are accepting Krishna there. Is it not? In an indirect way, you are accepting Krishna there. When we are talking about Krishna, you are not talking about the form or the name. Krishna, who is present inside the Santariyami, that's what we are accepting there. Not on intellectual level, in experience level, in realization level. So, if you have done like that, that Krishna is saying that there is a possibility that, if you have done that, the possibility that you will go back into the field of karma again, karma mandalam, and again accept birth and death, that chance is very, very rare. That chance is very, very rare. That is why under all circumstances, Shastram is saying, cultivate spiritual knowledge. Don't live in darkness, don't live in darkness. Cultivate spiritual knowledge. Because Krishna's point is that even to some degree, if you have accepted existence of Atma inside, not intellectually, but in realizations, in your life in this world, if you accepted that, then the possibility of falling back into the field of karma is very little. Very little. Gives you a little bit of hope there. Karodi karma kriyate cha jantu kenaapyasau chodidamani padan na tatra vidvan prakrutau sthitobi nivrta trishna susukhanubhutyam. Karodi karma kriyate cha jantu kenaapyasau chodidamani padan na tatra vidvan prakrutau sthitobi nivrta trishna susukhanubhutyam. Then, all people are doing karma in this world. Karavadi karmam kriyate cha jantu. All living entities are doing karmam in this world. Why do they do like that? Why do they do again and again? They are doing the karmam and they are experiencing the results. Why do they again experience birth and death from that? There is something that is prompting them to do that, isn't it? And so who is prompting this from inside? That's what Krishna is answering there. Karodi karmam cha kriyete jandu kenaapyasau chodidam anipadad na tatra vidvan prakrutau sthitobi nivrta trishna sa sukhanubhutyam. That only his ignorance is prompting from within to do this karmam again and again and again and getting caught up in the field of that karma and taking birth and death and birth and death, that cycle. Krishna says that, look at the jnani. Jnani, he is not going to do that. He will never agree to do all sorts of different kinds of karma, and he will not be ready to engage in that and accept the results of that, and he will not be ready to accept the birth and death again and again. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want new karma which will bind him. He does not want to accept the results of those karma, because he has got that special capacity to deal with the karma in the proper way. And similarly, he will not fall into the trap of birth and death either. So, so one who is looking for that opportunity to free oneself from this world and to free himself from the effect of material existence, and so such a person, for him, will be very particular about this, that he wants to free himself. Therefore, he will be careful about engaging in the karma. He will be careful about engaging in the karma. And one thing Krishna is saying there, that nobody is responsible for that, Krishna says. Nobody is responsible for that. It's only your own ignorance. Krishna says, nobody is responsible for it. You can't blame the parents. That is why parents shouldn't feel guilty about it. If you have not cultivated, taken spiritual knowledge seriously, that's your own fault. Nobody else's fault, that is. Nobody else's fault, that is. That's what he's saying here. That one's own ajnanam has come in the form of karma, and karma will bring the results, and the results will develop further ignorance in a person. And that you can see. That you can see. That you cannot say anybody, and nobody can complain that, oh, nobody told me about that. That's why I was engaged in all these kind of karma. That's up to you. If you want to understand that, Krishna is saying that it is purely a personal responsibility, individual's responsibility. So, Krishna has spoken this all the time. Have you noticed that? Krishna is stressing this point. Uddharedalpan alpanam. Alpanam avasadayat. Alpanyayu alpano bandhu. Alpanyayu ribir alpana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Uddharedalpan alpanam. In the Bhagavatam also, Krishna says exactly the same thing. Uddhare dalpan almanam. You can't blame anybody. You can't blame the world. You can't blame. If you look into the chapter before Bhikshu Gita, again Krishna says the same thing, isn't it? That he mentioned also. When we discuss that word, tasmad uddhavama bhumkshva vishayan asadindriyehi atma grahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpikam bhramam. Remember that word? Atma agrahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpikam bhramam. And then at the end, on the 58th verse, he says, nishtido mutrido vajnir bahudevam prakampinaha shrayaskama krishragada alpan alpanam uddhare. Alpan alpanam uddhare. That is Krishna's message. In Bhagavad Gita also, uddhare alpan alpanam. Here also, Krishna is saying, alpan alpanam uddhare. Every one of us have to elevate ourselves. Nobody is going to do it for us. That's the misunderstanding. Nobody is going to do it for us. Every one of us have to do it ourselves. We have to accept what Krishna is saying and convert that into life, whatever capacity, what we can do, and develop that spiritual understanding. That's what he's saying here. Shreyaskama krichragadha alpan alpana mudharet. Alpan alpana mudharet. Bhagavad Gita says, uddharet alpan alpanam. One has to do it oneself. So that is what he's saying here. So, so, karmam only due to ajnanam. Ajnanam due to ajnanam, karmam due to karmam, the results, and due to the results again ajnanam. It will continue like that. So, one has to prepare oneself due to pramadam. This has happened. Due to pramadam, it has happened. Krishna says. So, and it is due to pramadam only we are degrading ourselves here. And the result of that is, again, you have to constantly accept birth and death. That's all. Constantly accept birth and death. This is the science Krishna is saying here. This is the science Krishna is saying that. There is no other escape route. Udharedal kanatmanam. And if karmam, that is what it will lead to. Yes, one there. And then, tishtandam asinam utravrajandam shayanam ukshandam adandam annam sobhavamanyan kimabihamanam alpanam alpmastam mater naveda. Tishtandam asinam utravrajandam shayanam ukshandam adandam annam sobhavamanyan kimabihamanam alpanam alpmastam mater naveda. Krishna is saying here that while sitting, while walking, tishtandam asinam, and while eating, while sleeping, not only that, all times one should be in the platform of the soul, atmastam. Tishtandam asinam utram vrajandam shayanam ukshandam adandam annam. In all situations, one should always be situated in the platform of the soul, not in the platform of the body or the mind. Always to see oneself as Alma, as a soul, and not as the body or as a human being or a jiva. Neither of them. Neither as a jiva nor as a human being or as human body. So, not even one day. And not giving any problems to that state of Atma Bhavam, Atma Sarubam, or situated in the platform of the soul, and to live in a way, such a way, that nothing can come and disturb that state. And a person who lives like that, that is the nature of Jnani. Jnani is that person who lives in that state all the time, all the time. And that jnani, when he leaves this material world, Krishna says, he comes back to that state from where he does not have to return again. He doesn't come back again. He says, tishtandam asinam utravrajandam shayanam ukshandam adandam annam swabhavamanyal kimabihamanam alpanam almastam matir navedaha. That Atmanam Almastam Adirna Veda, all what will happen to him, he has gone back and got himself established in that state of Atma. He will never have to come back again. Krishna says that there is no question of taking birth again. Provided he has lived in this world, that always he is seeing himself as Atma. Never sees him as body, mind, or a human being, or a jiva, anything like that. And if he lives like that, always in the Atma Bhava or experience of Atma, and in living like that is a symptom of a jnani, of a realized soul. And that jnani, when he leaves this material existence, then he goes into the ultimate destination, Brahma Padam, what Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. Here also he is saying there, tishtandam asinam utravrajandam shayanam ukshandam adandam annam sobhavam anyat kimabihamanam almanam almastam. Atmastam means established in the self. Madhirna Veda. Madhirna Veda. That state will come to him. So, that is the 31st verse. I think we'll stop today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.